The Shining Wizards podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
All right, welcome to episode 771 of the Shining Wizards podcast. Tonight, we preview Saturday Night Main Event, where one of the all-time great will be hanging it up for good, like everybody else in wrestling does. John Cena vs. Gunther, and the last time is now. Then, plus we cover one of the worst butcher jobs in commentary of all time as we go over NXT Deadline. Also, we have the Yeti himself joining us, Ron Reese, at 7:45. And sadly, we had to say goodbye last week to one of the greatest, no, the greatest Larrys in professional wrestling. Woof. So let's just get into it with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brondo.
Double T.
Tony.
And some Kevin.
Where were the sirens coming from?
Did you have your window open?
No.
Whoops.
I didn't hear anything. Everybody was okay. I'm not the only one that heard sirens, am I? Yes.
I didn't hear
maybe. I heard sirens. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I know. That's why I made the weird look. I was like, there's fucking sirens going on.
I have a fire truck like right down the block from me normally, but I would have seen the lights.
Is it a fire truck or a firehouse, Brendo?
Both. A fire truck and a firehouse.
Did you mention the juice box?
Oh no, we got the juice box tonight at 7:71. Packed episode of the Shining Wizards podcast. So let's get back into it with some wrestling talk.
I thought we already did it. We'll talk about wrestling.
Love how we went right back into like intro guy voice. Oh no. Oh, we got the juice box.
We're professional here.
We are very professional here. And do we have enough time to talk about this developing situation with Brundo Fly and the shower dumping?
I'm still working on it, man. It's a whole thing.
You didn't send it to Tony.
He did, and 20 seconds later, I sent it back. I even texted him. It's there.
Wait, I think we got it. I think we might have it. Hold on.
Jumping hold on. Jesus.
Hold on. It's fucking, I got this, it's spinning in the corner.
Do we have time to talk about it? Yes. Will it be prepared?
Oh.
No.
This is fascinating. Whoa.
It worked.
Made it the background? I don't understand. All right, so you have to take.
Wait, no, do the background. Yeah.
All right, there we go. Okay.
Does that help? There you go.
Not really. It's close, but it doesn't show what I wanted it to show.
I know what you wanted it to show.
Can you take us off of it and just make that? Oh, here's what you do, HK.
Yeah.
Media assets.
Oh, media boy. Assets.
Right. Go to to overlay and add it to the overlay. We'll just put it up as a picture, and then we can still talk over it.
Got to add it to the overlay. Add it to the overlay.
Got all right.
It. Yep. Working on it.
Jeez Louise. Tony, you okay over there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm dying. You know.
You're dying?
Every day.
What is your ailment?
AIDS.
Is it AIDS?
Yes, AIDS.
Beastman AIDS.
Here we go. I got it. I got it.
Click on that. There we go.
Yep.
Where'd it go?
What are you doing, HK?
I fucking clicked that. There we go. There. This is
There's
what I want to talk about.
Bathroom.
This is what I want to talk about. Because if you could see here, you see where the dumping apparatus is.
The toilet?
It's not that close.
And it's not that close. My furry fucking nuts. All right.
Wait, whose bathroom is this?
This is Brundlefly's.
You don't even have a shower curtain? Oh, wait. Oh, you got a separate shower.
Yeah. It's in the corner. Yep.
Oh, that's far enough away.
Thank you.
I agree.
Dude, stop.
No.
It's not like it's next to the shower. It's far enough.
That's a four tile buffer. There's no way a four tile buffer flies. Oh, bullshit.
I can understand if she was in the tub and she had to watch him fucking grunting and fucking
licking. I'm sure she has.
Never. No, never.
Oh, I'm sure she has.
Fucking gripping his toes into the tiles, fucking forcing out some hot logs. But Jesus, dude, that's far enough away.
That
is not far enough away for a grumper.
And it's boxed in. Even if his fucking putridness like went right to the ceiling, he would have to fill the room before it even permeated inside the shower.
Four fucking tiles is not enough.
Get out of here.
Four tiles is not enough.
4 feet there.
You're out of your mind.
To quote Brundle last week, eat balls.
You eat balls, Tony. I'll send you some.
I'm going to go in there with a tape measure later and get the actual measurements.
No, don't even placate this, dude. You're fine.
No, that is unacceptable.
Says the guy who walks in a circle in his fucking cellar.
I'm not taking a shit down there next to anybody.
Not that we know of.
Okay, here, and I think I bring this up every time. Your bone of contention, HK, is that he does this, but then you make it out to, like, it's like me, like, cleaning the shart out of my underwear in a porta john. You take it, and then you turn it up to 11, and now you, every time we have a conversation, you go, he washes his clothes in the porta john. I don't. I did it once. Brundlefly, in his marriage with his wife, has a handful of times had to do this in case of an emergency. This is not like...
Nope, still close. MB says
everybody,
too close.
But everybody's different.
Not when it comes to shitting.
Yeah. Oh, yes. There are people.
Everybody, as we show on this show, everybody's different.
No, that's double T. You're telling me that's an acceptable amount of distance right there.
I don't see. I would never do it, but yes. Yes. She would have to open the shower curtain and stick her head out to look in his direction. He can't reach it with a hand. He can't reach out a hand and open up that curtain.
Yeah, it's not like he could fucking gorilla tag her and just grab a mound.
Yeah, I can't even come close.
Unacceptable.
Al has it right. Al has it right, by the way, for better or worse. That's the worst.
I bet you Kevin's been in the shower and Molly took a hot fucking steamy one. He wouldn't fucking mind.
We have three fucking bathrooms in this house. You can find us to go.
If she came in and said, hot one in the chamber, got to drop, would you fucking panic, jump out with no...
Oh, 100%. I would run. I would fucking sprint because I love my wife and I'm attracted to my wife and I want to stay that way.
Nope, got to go. See you later. See, so I have the problem. I have the problem in my bathroom. It's not even like the closeness.
There's my wife. She would never.
Never say never, Molly. Wrestling in bathroom. Speaking of never.
I wonder if the juice saw the picture. I wonder if he knows.
Oh, boy. We're going to bring him in on this now.
Sure. Why not? He's part of the team.
Yeah, but I'm sure he doesn't want to fucking take the field for this one.
Well, I don't know. He might have a different take. He might be in a weird relationship. He's from Pittsburgh. Who knows?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a little fucked up.
Working class people. They probably don't even, they probably just shit on the floor in the middle of the house.
I wouldn't go that far.
Come on, steel.
Jesus. That's what I just came back from doing that.
See,
there we go.
So what I don't know. I what are you guys discussing, or what did you want to broach as a, you know, part of the topic that's unrelated to WCW, although WCW was pretty shitty.
So I'm not gonna all right, I'll set it up, all right, and I'm not gonna do the thing the Double T says I do with the twisting and all that kind of stuff. So Brundlefly waits until his wife takes a shower to go in there and take a shit. It's a weird thing that they have in the relationship.
You already did it. You already did it. Nope.
Wow. All right. You know what? Well played, sir. Well played. I can't even get mad at that.
So is there in any situation or circumstances where you find it acceptable to go into a bathroom and shit while somebody else is in the shower? We're talking about a single bathroom in your home.
Right, right, right. I think depending on trust level, anything's on the table. However, if you flush, you could ruin their shower. So you must really like them.
I can say for certain
it can get real cold.
The flush does not ruin our shower.
Yep, same here.
Well, yep. Well,
different pipes.
We're currently renting, so that's something that we got to be wary of.
There we go. Weird. I like that. Now, you and your significant other, you guys taking shits in the bathroom together?
Yes, together at the same time.
What do you have a
same time?
His wife is waffle stomping while he's fucking going to town on the.
See, that's weirder than what's going on in Brundlefly's house.
You never waffle stomped. You never shit while you were showering.
All right, there, Vito Jr.
But. No, I feel like it's a pretty normal in and out. Wait on the other person. That the shower topic is interesting though, because there is somewhat of, you know, if you want the privacy, if you have to go, I think this all comes down to if you really have to go.
And that's the
like
thing.
An unstoppable force against the immovable object. You better 100%. Get to hell in the bathroom. But like I said, in our situation specifically, you might, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and then wait for the water to shut off, and then you know hit the flush.
Wait, so you just like leave it?
You just leave it in there, like fucking bobbing up and down?
I guess
that's what would happen, but I don't actually think it's happened. But we've had it to where we've come in and not doing a number two, but you're still utilizing the toilet. But if you flush, it could, you know, cause a cold shower. Therefore, hold off, you know, shut the lid if you're interested in that stuff or not. Yeah, I don't know.
I'd probably be flushing on my wife a lot more if that was the case.
Fair.
You are fucking sadistic, Brundle.
Flushing on my wife.
What?
I'd be flushing on my wife, he says. You are fucking sick.
I Dunk Biscuit says it best. Welcome to the Shitting Wizards podcast.
True Prince of Pro, also, I guess, a Pittsburgh native. He says, I mean, we do have a thing in Pittsburgh called the Pittsburgh Toilet, which is a wall-less toilet found in unfinished basements of some old Pittsburgh's homes. But I don't get how anyone could use them.
Well, I tell you this much. I met like the owners that owned my house like back in the 50s. And the bathroom that's down here in the basement was considered the men's bathroom. So it kind of makes sense. Like if that was the thing, like the ladies had the upstairs powder room and the men had the downstairs bathroom. Men don't give a shit. Put it in the middle of the fucking room. Whatever. As long as it fucking drains. As long as it goes to the sewer line, who gives a shit?
Literally.
Or takes a shit, man. Oh, boy.
Never a dull moment when I come in here. I got to tell you.
It just really works out that way, Juice.
Yeah, maybe always. It's something about the juice.
Yeah, that's something about me. That's for sure.
Ooh, if you had a shit in front of your significant other, would you yell, "Look out, the juice is loose"?
Well, that would be if I had, you know, gone to maybe Taco Bell beforehand. It's loose.
See, I would do that. A fucking wet diarrhea sounds like a duck quacking shit. Like I'd be down for that.
What are we?
I got a bidet upstairs, so if I got the fucking Rhea, if I got the Rhea Ripley's, I can fucking hose it off.
That's next level. Now the bidet is
the Rhea Ripley's.
That's pretty
good.
I'm
already writing that down.
It's funny on two levels. It's diarrhea, and sometimes you believe it, sometimes not.
Well, it always sounds like you're ripping one, too, so I think there's a third component. Or Ripley's Believe It or Not. Did you see what's in that toilet?
Oh, my God.
You're not helping us, Juice. I'm trying to get us to WCW here.
SJ's here. What a shit show.
Literally, these Tony can talk about shit all night.
Oh my God. Can you quack?
Wow. Is that the video I think you're talking about?
Oh, you've seen Quack Like a Duck, right?
Yeah, that's so funny.
The goat and your mom. That's a classic.
Can you sit on my ball? Can you fart on my ball? Can you shit on my chest for good luck?
No!
For good luck. Good luck.
Better a good rhyme scheme.
Oh my God. Jeez,
Vince has that in fucking loop on his fucking eye.
I'm doing great.
We can take
Johnny, get in here. My song's on.
You know how behind the bar.
We've been talking about shit for like 15 minutes and there's like,
hey, come here, young lady. Why don't you take a shower and freshen up? And then he fucking sneaks in there. There's more where that came from, sweetheart. Ha ha.
Speaking of Vince, are we going to see him on Saturday?
I think they already said he's not going to make it.
Oh, it's a work. Come on.
They won't. There's no shot they show him.
Why not?
That doesn't mean he couldn't be there.
Oh, he'll be there.
And I don't think they necessarily have to show him for him to happen to be in one of the camera shots. I mean, I also think it would take away. I think a lot of the crowd would notice he was there and go nuts.
Well, then maybe that's why Cena's going on first.
Is he really?
I think Cena's going on first because that's what Hogan would do back in the day.
Brother.
And like give a platform to the other people, which I just want to know how everything looks and not necessarily ratings or viewers, but like how things maybe taper off after Cena's, you know,
oh
probably hour long segment.
I would laugh so fucking hard if you just watch the entire rest of the show and people are just filtering out the entire time.
It's just tarp. They just tarp the whole hard cam side.
Oh my God. It looks like the AWA Team Challenge series by fucking hour two. Obafemi and fucking Cody are fighting for a turkey on a pole.
The money those people paid, they're fucking staying. I promise you that.
No, do you remember when Hogan went on his Hulkamania tour and he wrestled the Big Show? I want to say it was in Memphis, and literally everybody filtered in for that match, and when that match was over, they all fucking hit the road.
They didn't pay Saturday Night Main Event money for that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they paid a pretty penny to see Hogan on his like tour or whatever, but still, just walked out the fucking door.
Now I just need to know. I'm going to go on Game Time here.
Game Time? What's that?
It's a ticket app. Let's see. The lowest price I can find, $408.
I was discussing this with a fellow contributor to Shining Wizards, Kyle from the Apron Bump, and it is nuts what the even highest level tickets are. At least $350, if not more, for the nosebleeds.
Oh, I need about a $350. Speaking of Kyle, jumps in. Vince is the masked man.
Oh my God.
And on top of that,
he would have torn his quads as soon as he got on top of the cage.
This is exactly how I felt with MB says it. You say he's not going to make it, like he's going to die before Saturday. That's exactly how I took it. I thought, I was like, ooh, did somebody have him in the pool?
Not me. So he could live till next year.
No, it doesn't look like anyone had him.
Juice. I got to tell you, man, it's been toilet time, but now I think it's Vader time.
I thought it was Tank Abbott.
I can't. Oh, yeah. Tank Abbott time.
Yeah. So you brought up a pole match and I was like, hey, we can transition into this Tank Abbott.
Yeah, I fucked up. I'm an R word.
We're racist.
Yes. Well, that too, but that wasn't the R word I'm going for. Fuck. I think I broke my bell.
I mean, so regarding Tank Abbott, I mean, what necessarily do you guys want to have on the docket? Because I've got quite a few thoughts on his whole run.
Oh, when he fucking tried to stab someone, managing three count, you know, where do you want to go? Fuck. Beautiful. Yeah, dude.
Now, Now, I didn't cut holes for my nipples like Tank did, but
you should have.
This shirt's worth more than that. So
yeah, don't ruin a good shirt for that shit.
With nipples. So I have a question because Tank Abbott is really just kind of far out there in my world. Because true or not true? All right, Juice is the number one expert regarding WCW on the panel here. Considered for a world title run when he was brought in.
I think that's I wasn't there, but I would wager that's more true than not, considering as soon as he came in, much like now this as if I'm comparing the two apples to apples, but just like the Wall when he came in, mm-hmm. Tank Abbott was just like mowing people down and just like beating everybody. And it was very conceivable that he could have had, you know, a title reign. If not, I don't know if it was necessarily like, as soon as he comes in, we're going to book for this. But I mean, his first pay-per-view match was against Jerry Flynn. So I don't know. And it wasn't for the number one contendership, you know.
Well, no, and didn't they? Him and Jerry fought a couple times, didn't they?
I think they did, but on pay-per-view specifically is what I was just referring to.
Yeah.
And he had three total WCW pay-per-view matches. The other one being Super Brawl 2000, as it was referenced, against his former bodyguard, Big Al, in which they cursed a lot. They were fucking real snug with punching each other. Tank Abbott gets a fireman's carry on Al on the top rope, and they like slip and almost kills him by like dumping him to the floor directly, and then it's the jacket on a pole. He takes the jacket, throws it on him, and then he brandishes a knife, and it's like, I could fucking kill you right now.
Yeah, he was gonna shave his beard, as Tony Schiavone said.
That's what Tony said to try to cover up the obvious, I have a knife and I'm going to stab this guy.
Someone should have called 911.
The fact that Big Al didn't have a beard or any facial hair was great as well.
Or any hair at all, really. He was bald too. It was crazy. And the other pay-per-view match, I think, was against Scott Steiner. He teamed with Rick Steiner, and they both they lost to Scott. But that was Scott's ascension to the world title later on that year. I do have other highlights. He fought Van Hammer, David Arquette, Sid, and he beat up Pittsburgh's own Mark Madden.
Good, because Mark Madden had it coming.
Thank God.
That's David Arquette's only successful title defense when he was the WCW world champion.
I mean, I love the triple cage at Slamboree 2000, regardless of David Arquette being involved. Although I like the swerve of it too, him turning on DDP. Go ahead.
The ultimate.
I was going to say with Tank, like he comes in, right? He looks unstoppable. He looks like a badass.
Yeah.
Potentially considered for, you know, in that world title picture. I mean, obviously intimidating. Looks like he could be the guy, right? Looks like he could fuck everybody if he wanted to, right? Now, and I don't know if this is to be true or not true, but it is. Is it because of the family friendly he comes from UFC that they decided to veer away from potentially giving him that rocket shoved up his ass and then turns him into three counts bitch? Because it's such a sharp turn and it's fucking weird. Talk to me, Juice. Lay it on me.
It is weird. And I think you're probably onto something with the family friendly thing, especially because I don't know the timeline of, like, I know when all these things happen, but I don't know when he came in initially. Was it derailed immediately, or did they still have world title aspirations for him and then he pulled a knife on pay-per-view and they were like, I don't know if we can do this anymore? They probably looked at him and felt he's pretty limited as a quote pro wrestler, like he's traditionally an MMA guy, and this is not, you know, a Brock situation or Kurt Angle or you know, any of these guys coming in doing MMA or what have you. Tank was just straight up, I'm just gonna beat your ass. Like he was not your, in a sense, traditional wrestler. And you kind of downplay the three count thing, but I kind of loved it. I loved him being clearly bigger and better than all three of those guys, and he could beat all their asses if they wanted to. And I don't know, it was like a unique dynamic. I am a three count fan. So I like that little wrinkle. It is what it is. I mean, they found something for him that I felt was still entertaining. It was funny to me, but I could see where, you know, maybe he's, I don't know if he felt emasculated by that. Has he ever done any shoot interviews talking about being the three count like manager.
I'm sure he does, but it's probably full of CTE at this point.
That's the other thing. Yeah, I don't know how far along he was in that journey back in 99, 2000, but very unique run, for lack of a better term. Like, you had your Goldbergs and Sid and Steiners and these hard-ass, tough guys at that time, and I don't know if it ever would have been able to work. Like, let's say they gave him a world title opportunity. I couldn't see him working a match effectively enough to where, like, Goldberg couldn't wrestle, you know, a lot, but he did enough in the pro wrestling sense to where he could pass it off. I don't think Tank Abbott could have done that, to be honest with you. He's too big of a shoot guy. He would have just thought every match was reeled up. Well, I'm going to stay champion, as a matter of fact.
It's going to cut everybody's beards.
Yeah. He's got a fucking several wins over the Great Muta. That really, like, chaps my ass.
Yeah, but it was 2000 Great Muta. It's different. It's not 89.
Still the fucking Great Muta.
Yeah, I know.
God, what a fucking fever dream. ICP, Great Muta, and Vampiro against Three Count and Tank Abbott.
That's a main event anywhere.
I can't even believe that the Juggalo Championship Wrestling heavyweight title was defended on Nitro in 2000.
Forbidden Door, baby.
Vampiro and Tank Abbott went to a no contest.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy even bringing up like JCW, and they're like totally having like a TV show now, and they're kind of fully going invested in like a company with a program. It's not just random shows at the gathering. I kind of find it fascinating, especially they got Vince Russo on board. Maybe Tank Abbott's going to show up.
Okay, would you have bet for a JCW like comeback before a WCW comeback here, Juice?
No, it's funny though you say that, because I had brought up on Twitter a few times that like after watching Survivor Series War Games, that even after so many, and so, you know, you had a lot of good stories in the last couple of WWE based War Games, it is so abhorrently clear that AEW's Blood and Guts is a better representation of the NWA WCW War Games than WWE's version of War Games, and it's like not even close.
Yeah, it's been nice having you on, Juice.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I was gonna say, is that a hot take? What are we doing here?
Handsome Kevin doesn't like AEW at all.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to like the company to realize that Blood and Guts is so much more, you know, comparatively speaking, more accurate to a WCW War Games, especially like the 91, 92 versions, than it ever was with the WWE ones. I mean, and I get it, like, it's not going to be the same everywhere, but I was bringing that up to side point how WCW, like, I brought that up and someone was like, oh, well, look, like, how could you be mad at WWE? Because they brought back War Games and they have like these entities that have been revived, like Great American Bash and Starrcade. And I'm like, that's great and all, but it's just the name. Like Halloween Havoc, they did the wheel, that was like cool, but I don't know, you can't bring back WCW. Like, there's and if we can actually transition that into the Rey Mysterio thing,
when
WWE wins the war and they have this, they've done this forever, WCW is less than, it's undersold, it was never good, Rey Mysterio was never a star there, get the fuck out of here. It's insane. Yeah, I know, but that's what they did. And to hear that now after they've celebrated Sting and all these things, and to say it like for Rey Mysterio, I do want to quote a line from another famous con when he said, there's room for only one con in pro wrestling. Well, when you know the history like Tony does and saw Rey Mysterio in ECW, he knew probably that there was a star to behold, not Nick Khan, who was a completely oblivious to the Psychosis matches and the Eddie matches and the Kevin Nash giant beating matches. Like, he was a star. He was a star. Like, he didn't have to be in the main event picture, world title picture, like WWE made him to be, for him to be a star. So I just thought that was an insane comment.
They put the world title on him. All he did was lose to Mark Henry, to Great Khali, to all these people.
Those are your WWE like classic types of guys. Your Marquette, like the huge heavyweight, the Giants, and like he's beaten Kevin Nash. It was so much more unique for him. Even the mask coming off or whatever, but the Filthy Animals were a very popular team. Like Rey Mysterio was incredibly over in WCW. Like I don't care.
The Animals were shit. Do not. You're out of your fucking mind, Juice. I think you're great, but you're out of your fucking mind. The Filthy Animals were absolute trash.
Hey, what's Ray this? And
MIA for the Hall of Fame.
Hey, okay, disco with a SQ at the end. That was not necessary. Disco Inferno didn't need to be there. But Conan, because like Conan too. Conan at the forefront of the Wolfpack. I think he was more over doing that than he ever was as like Mexican heavyweight champion when he first beating one man cast.
What did Conan call everybody else? He had
strawberry.
Strawberries. And muchos vatos locos forever.
I thought that was crazy to hear Nick Khan say that.
You tuned in to Nitro and the pay-per-views to see the Rey Mysterio, the Psychosis, the Ultimo Dragon, the Dean Malenko matches. Like, you stayed for the shitty, shitty WCW main events. Like, that Rey Eddie match might be the greatest Halloween match ever. A Halloween Havoc match.
I think it's arguably WCW's greatest match that they ever put on, and you put it perfectly. The fact that at the same time when WWE would have who knows in the undercard, and you get these incredible 45-minute main events with stories and everything, on the other channel, you're getting 2.5 hours of amazing wrestling, your cruiserweight action, and they'd begin Nitro, they'd begin pay-per-views, and then you'd get a convoluted main event. So you pick your poison there, but again, to kind of just say that Rey Mysterio never had anything like that when he was in WCW, I just think is short-sighted. And I'm unsure if Nick Khan ever even watched WCW, to be honest with you. I think it was just an easy way to take a cheap shot because that's what Triple H probably told him to say.
It's just a weird thing to say in 2025, too.
Well, like, don't you know facts? Like, was he a fan? Did he even know? Like, it's because I just don't think it's true, subjectively.
Not true. He was part of the Nitro, like when they rolled out like the big signs at bus stops, like his like silhouette, like flying through the air, was part of the marketing promotion.
Yeah, and he had a
Tony
shirt,
Khan
a shirt as well.
No, yeah. Fucking Rey Mysterio Jr. You racist.
Big giant pair of eyes only,
and his teeth. Because he's fucking grinding them all the time.
God damn it, Tony.
Wrinkled suit.
You know, we're bringing back the national title. Tell them all about it, Tony.
You blink too much.
Juice, sorry. We have a special guest joining us in a couple minutes. We have the Yeti.
Wow. Really? You have Ron Reese coming on
we
the show?
We do have Ron Reese coming on in about 12 minutes.
Wow. Look at you guys. That's the largest guest you've ever got. Unless you got
we had Mabel.
Plus taller than him.
Oh, we had Mabel, yeah. Mabel. We had Mabel. Big.
I mean, if you're talking, you know.
Wow. Oh yeah, I'm talking size, yeah. I mean and you're gonna ask him about the pause. You're gonna ask him about the super giant ninja phase?
Yes, I have a lot of questions for him actually.
Oh, I cannot wait to watch that.
I'm very excited for it.
That's such a bizarre turn for that character.
It was weird that he wasn't really in WCW for that long. But I have he resonates with me. Like I remember the Yeti.
He resonates with you.
Oh my God, Brundo, please.
He retires with you.
Oh my God.
He is your density.
Wow. It's gonna be fucking amazing.
I was doing, you know what?
Chicken butt.
No, I'm just an idiot. I'm not even going to make up an excuse. I'm just an idiot. You would think in 14 years I would know to slow down and not try to do like six things at once. But I'm just an idiot. That's it. There's no, I have no defense. I'm an idiot.
R-word.
Yes, I might be retarded.
Jesus. You have to come out and say it.
But yeah, Yeti, what? Super giant ninja, Reese. Is that the only three gimmicks that he had?
He was Big John Studs kid, yeah.
Big Ron Studd.
Oh, wait, oh, Big Ron Studd. I forgot about that. Wow. Mm-hmm. How could I forget about that run?
Right.
It was very short lived.
Yeah.
That's exciting, though. That's a hell of a get.
Well, he's not here yet, so
you, you gonna ask him if he's got a deal with the WWE Legends line so we can get a Yeti action figure?
I don't think he needs to. He can just release
Why?
One.
Why?
What do you mean?
Do you want to hang for a second? Do you want to talk to Ron Reese too?
Oh, that doesn't matter to me if you have room for me. If not, that's okay. I could ask the question in the chat. But I just, what do you mean he could release one on his own?
The correct answer would have been absolutely, sir. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to just horn in. If you guys are.
Horn. Yeah. I'm going to horn in.
Oh, bring it. You're here, Juice. You're our WCW guy.
Juice is feeling horny.
Hang out for a minute. You don't have to stay for the whole time.
Sure.
Bring in Mr. Reese.
The Yeti's in the house.
No, you
sir. I hit the wrong button. I hit the wrong button.
There we go.
The Yeti's in the house. Yes. I have my park on because it's very cold.
The greatest moment in the history of this great sport.
I you know that I'm officially the owner of the Dungeon of Doom now. Everyone else has passed away. I'm the last surviving member, so I have the ownership of it now.
I didn't even realize.
No way. Oh, God. That's true. I mean, it's really morbid, but that's true.
I've often thought I'm going to open up a bar and just call it the Dungeon of Doom and just be like, hey, guys, come on in.
I would go there 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would it be located in parts unknown?
Yes. Well, you'd have to like park in a parking lot and we'd come and pick you up and then put a hood over you. And then,
oh my God, I'm 100% down for this, Ron. 100%.
Yeah. Will there be no Hulkamaniacs exactly there?
Well, where's the Hulkamaniacs?
No yellow and black, brother. Yellow and red. Black, brother. And the only way that you could get there is on a monster truck because that's all we drive here, you know.
Wow.
You know, that's the funny thing. And look, I'm not trying to downplay the Yeti or anything, but if you look at that whole pay-per-view, it was just so bizarre. And then all of a sudden, people are like, yeah, but the Yeti character is like, wait a second. You mean to tell me, like, this other shit didn't, like, throw red flags earlier in the play?
Ron, we're 30 years beyond Halloween Havoc. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you would still be talking about the Yeti?
Absolutely not. And I know, like, guys, I used to hang out with Glacier and Chris Canyon, and they're like, man, you're going to live this infamous for life. And I was just thought it was a joke. And now every once in a while, someone comes back and goes crazy for the Yeti, and it's just like, wow. Wow. Wow.
I'm
funny though because it is a Halloween show. It made sense though to have a huge mummy.
Did it really
come out? Yeah, I thought so. Come on.
You know, I was in. My son was getting a grill the other day at Lowe's, and I was in there, and they had the giant, the Yeti from the not the Toy Story, but what is that one?
The Abominable Snowman.
The Abominable Snowman. I'm like, wow, dude, maybe I should just get one of these for my front yard and see if anybody can get the sarcasm. You know?
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Oh, my God. Do people in your neighborhood know you as the Yeti?
Not at all. Not at all. No.
Man. They know you as Super Giant Ninja.
Yes. Well, you know, they know I have secret, like, you know, I slip out the bat cave through the bottom and go out to the Legion of Doom in parts unknown.
What goes through your head when they're like, hey, we're going to wrap you up like a mummy and call you the Yeti. And then a couple weeks later, like, nah, you know what? We're going to pivot. We're going to make you a ninja. Like, Do you just
I hate to
go,
say this, but I was so young and new to the business. I was just happy they were calling me, you know?
No, no, I get that. But like in the back of your head, are you like, not too sure about this one?
You know, I didn't see the long term in it, but who's to, you know? Look, I tell everyone, though, that I think that the Yeti was like the equivalent of Wenger to Nirvana, right? Like, so after the Yeti died out, you know, we got into the realism of the NWO where, you know, you had to have that really bad band before to turn everyone into grunge, you know?
It took the Yeti.
At least that's what I'm trying to say, you know, trying to salvage it out.
And then Yeti was the butterfly effect to start the NWO.
Yeah, you think about it like 6 months later, and then Hogan was like, "Look, dude, I mean, I can't do this shit anymore, right?"
Yes,
it was very getting very childish. The stuff, you know, I mean, very what? Not even PG-13, but just regular G rating. I mean, you know, there was nothing too crazy going on.
Yeah, but I think that's what we loved about it, right? Like even now, like when the WWE Vault drops, like all the Dungeon of Doom vignettes, it's like, this is fucking awesome.
Solomon, my son.
Yes. Yes, Curtis Iaukea. Come on.
The weed I've smoked today. This is Sensimillo weed, and not stuff. My favorite is like Solomon would go in and out, like, "Oh yes, I understand," and flip his eyes back, and it's just like, "What are we doing here, guys?" Like,
you go. It was so much fun, though, man. It was so much fun looking back on that stuff.
I remember Hugh Morris. It was Hugh Morris and Ming and myself and the one man gang. And we were at the hotel, and the hotel came and picked us up like in a rental van, like one of those 60 passenger vans, and like took us to the Dungeon of Doom. And I'm just like, wow, this is. I'm going to the Dungeon of Doom.
Top of the world, man.
I thought it was going to be some great thing. And it's just like some studio. I was like, wow, dude, this is, okay.
There's no Hulkamaniacs here.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting for someone to ask me, like, "Hey, man, where was that place? Can we go there?" I'm like, it's not a physical address. It's it's a state of mind, right?
Holy shit.
I love it. So Ron, you're claiming responsibility for the NWO.
So you know what? I'm going to claim a lot of things today. Okay, first of all,
we can blame you for Triple H too. Then, right?
Yeah. So I'm taking 100% credit for Triple H's career. Everything that he's ever done, 100% has to come through me. And you know what's weird is I did not know this, but he was on a podcast and told everyone that I'm responsible for it.
I heard they came to see you and they saw him, and now we have to deal with him.
They were like, "Holy shit, this big guy's terrible. I think we might be able to use him as a Yeti, but this guy, we can make a prince from France and he'll be awesome. And his finishing move will be the curtsy, but then we'll change that into the guillotine, right?" Actually, they saw me and they go, "Hey, just send that guy down to the Dungeon of Doom for a couple years and we'll bring him back." He's dungeon worthy. Go ahead, just send him off.
Dungeon worthy. I love it.
This guy to the flock now.
Yes. By the way, we had a great flock reunion last week at WrestleCade. It was unbelievable. I believe everyone was there. We got some great pictures. Everyone's looking good. A little bit older, but still looking great.
Did Sick Boy show up?
Sick Boy was here. Sick Boy looked phenomenal, and he was great. Oh wow! A little vicious heat there, right?
He was going to be on our anniversary show 2 weeks ago, and then he didn't show up. He ghosted me.
Well, did you tell him that you know the Yeti?
I will.
Okay, I mean, you know, you tell him that you know the Yeti. Maybe I'll take him to the Dungeon of Doom, and we can have a good time.
You think Sick Boy would fit in the Dungeon of Doom?
He's put on a couple pounds.
Not like that. I mean, like, you know, I don't know. What would his Dungeon of Doom character been?
I don't know. Yeah, he'll fit in somehow. We'll get him. He's really a good guy.
Hey, Ron, let me ask you, because we had this conversation earlier.
Yes.
Because somebody on
the show. What have you been talking about for 40 minutes before me?
Oh, we're getting into that right now. Double T's got a story for you, sir.
I mean, God, I hate to hear that the party started and I wasn't invited till the end.
Well, we'll catch you up here.
Somebody.
I got a story for you guys, though, before we go.
Okay. Awesome. We're not getting rid of you yet.
All right, good.
Somebody on the show had an emergency and had to take a dump while his wife was in the shower. Acceptable or unacceptable?
Did he take a dump in the shower or in the toilet?
In the toilet. No, I didn't like pull the curtains and say, out of the way.
Yes, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't. Ooh, woman! I think that's fine. I mean, did you try? I would have just sort of tried to ninja in because I am a ninja. And slide in and get it and then get out, right?
There we go. I'll remember that for the next time. Super ninja.
Tell them, hey, ninja powers, come on in, hit it. You know? Now, do you have old plumbing or new plumbing? Because if you have an old plumbing, when you flush, the water will get cold, right? So you got to be careful.
New plumbing. Don't have to worry about that.
You're a $1 million. Yeah.
Feel better now.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It really doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. What did your wife think?
She loved it.
I don't think she loved it.
As long as your wife's cool with it, then everything's good.
She said, you know, come on back, big boy. Anytime. She didn't have to buy potpourri for a month.
Probably just happy she didn't have to clean anything up.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
or didn't have to watch.
Yeah.
Some of these new plumbings, you know, you got the glass shower doors and stuff. It could have been an entirely different story. Terrible.
Don't have that.
No.
And we were talking about Tank Abbott. Juice below you is he does the Juice Box. He has his own podcast, but he comes on every couple of weeks to hang out with us and talk WCW.
Juice Box in the house.
We thought it was right.
Something about Tank Abbott. He was one of the most amazing guys, because when you look at him, and I'm, you know, look, he never looked like that great of an athlete, right? But he would come into the power plant and he would just walk up, start benching 505 for 10s. And then get out and go run 4 miles and then come back. And it was like, this guy looks like he should be out mowing the lawn, drinking beers, but he's a straight, stone cold, phenomenal shape killer, right?
That's what I loved about the early days of UFC. Like when there were no weight restrictions, there were no limits. You'd get a bunch of, like, for lack of a better term, like just beer brawlers. And those were some of the toughest guys in the UFC.
He literally looked like he worked at a nightclub the night before and was like, I need Thursday night off. I got a UFC fight. Okay. Hey, have a good time, man.
So let me ask you this. I know that he was involved with Recount. We were talking about that earlier, but was it your idea for him to go to the ring with a knife and try to cut Big Al's beard?
I can't take credit for that. No, I could take credit for a lot, but I cannot take credit for that.
One thing not on the list. We got it.
Yes, cross that one off. I cannot take credit for that.
I want to know. It's. I've thought about this for a long time. So you had your match with Chris Benoit, and they basically used that match as Chris Benoit's entrance video. Like, did you ever see that and be like, hey, guys, the guy, motherfucker, had other matches? Like, he wrestled other fucking people.
I went to Japan. I came back, and this was like, I was getting my second berth at WCW. And I went on, it was that Hog Wild tour where you went up to Sturgis and stuff. And it was really weird on that tour because it was not like before where you just got a rental car. This was like they had buses and certain hotels that we stayed at because of the limited space up there. So I'm on this whole entire tour. Everything's going great. And then we get to Monday Nitro. And out of the blue, they just come up and go, hey, you got Benoit tonight. I'm like, okay, great. They're like, hey, can you take the superplex off the top? And at this point, you know, anything, I felt like I had two strikes against me. I'm like, hell yeah, I can. And I remember I ran and found Jody Hamilton and Dwayne Bruce Sarge and was like, hey, what the hell is a superplex and how the hell do I take it off the top?
Holy shit.
And they're like, well, you know, just tuck your head and just hope you land flat. I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. And that was the rest of it, you know? Just, okay, let's do it.
That's wild.
Yeah, and you, believe it or not, gravity still worked up there, and I hit that mat pretty damn hard.
I want to go to the chat here quick.
But traffic. That's when I was the I started to be the guy. So if you were facing the giant at the pay-per-view, you beat me on Thursday night. So everyone was like, holy shit, man, this guy might have a chance against the giant. And then the giant would squash you in 10 seconds.
Tropical wants to know if you have any fun Big John Studd stories.
You know what? John and I spent a lot of time together, but we never really got to hang out because he got cancer really quick after we got together. Yeah. But I was very excited to get in with him and be partners with him. And we were supposed to be the Giant Machines. The new age Giant Machines.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't know that before.
But it always was great seeing John Studd, and he had Andre the Giant's hair. It just blew my mind at how crazy that was back in the day when they shaved Andre's head.
Wait, so he like kept lockets of Andre's hair?
He had a bag of Andre's hair that, yeah, they used to walk around with, and it was like, wow. Hey, here you go. Talk about like the ultimate, you know, thing still, right? The people would go crazy for that.
So somebody right now has Andre the Giant's DNA in like a Ziploc bag.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what was the movie with the dinosaurs?
Oh, Jurassic my God. Park. Jurassic Park. But
Jurassic Park 2.
All the dinosaurs are Andre?
Yeah.
No!
How about the peanut?
They all turn into Fezzik.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good. I'm surprised someone has. Well, now someone's going to make that movie.
Oh, you could take credit for it.
Yeah, yes, here.
I'll take credit for it. Yeah.
It's a shame WWE.
Whoever
Films
hears this movie, I want to be executive producer. Then you can have the whole idea.
Hell yeah! I'd watch the shit out of that movie.
Right.
So, Ron, you turn like? How did you? Because I know you ended up in a bunch of films too. Was that thanks to your professional wrestling career, or was it because of the gargantuan of a man that you are?
I want to say 50-50. My last movie, The Unbreakable Bunch, one of the greatest movies of all time. I mean, this is an Academy Award winning movie. Please go out and watch it. Ernest the Cat Miller's on it. Stan the Man Hansen. Let's see. Glacier's on there. Luther Biggs is on there. Haku is on there. A great movie. I mean, it is Academy Award ready to be won. So please go out and watch this thing.
You had.
By the way, I'm completely lying. It is not, but it's halfway entertaining for 45 minutes. Too bad it's an hour movie, but 45 minutes.
Did you have to do any scenes with that that hack Larry Zbysko?
You motherfucker.
You know, yeah, he was in there, and he did a good job. But the funny thing is, it had been a while since I had thrown a working punch, and I get down there like, all right, yeah, here's the big fight scene, and you're supposed to punch Haku. And I'm like, oh, shit, man. If I slip this one in with this starts, it's not going to be good, right? Like, God, why can't I accidentally hit somebody else? And Haku was great, and the scene was great, and everything worked out. But I'm like, man, that would really suck just to potato this guy for no reason and have him just destroy me. But I'm taking credit that I did beat up Haku in the movie. I beat up everybody in the movie. Gangrel's in the movie. I beat him up. Ernest the Cat Miller. I left everyone laying. You got to come see the sequel and see me rock it in the sequel.
Was this the same one that Shannon Tweed was in? Did you fuck her up too?
No, that was was the Hulk Hogan movie.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Getting all these great genre of movies mixed up, man.
Gotcha.
You put her down. That was like one of the top movies, rated movies on TNT, which doesn't say much, but I always thought that was hilarious. It's one of the top ranked movies. I'm like, wow. People will watch anything.
Along with other programming on TNT.
Yes. The best part about it was I could never take Hogan serious because he had hair in that thing. And I was like, whoa, that's really trippy, right?
You didn't like his wig in Three Ninjas?
Well, so my death scene in that is I pick up Hogan, I press slam him, I throw him down, then I go to roll a car on top of him. Then I go to look to see if he's squished, and lo and behold, he's not there. And then he jumps on my back and breaks my neck.
He no-sold the car.
No-sold the car, right?
That didn't work for him, brother.
And that was not a light car that I rolled over. This was not like a Pinto. This was like at least a Ford Taurus or something. I put my back into it.
Did he say, you got me, brother?
Yes. Listen here, dude. All the Hulkamaniacs are going to be pissed.
Are you still?
Hey, let me
still...
ask you guys a question. You guys obviously big wrestling fans.
Yes.
I like that Hulk Hogan went to the NWO, but I was sort of hoping that he would stay when he turned heel. He would have been more of a heel by himself because I thought when he was with the NWO, he was like too cool. But if he would have gone by himself, he would have been like more of a chicken shit heel. Like Nick Bockwinkel or stuff like that back in the day.
I mean, he kind of was in a way with the NWO, but yeah, there was that coolness factor. But I think it's a product of the time. So like Steve Austin never intended to be a face. It's just that he did a lot of things that resonated with people, but he was a no good.
Remember
son
when
of a
like
bitch
you would right? put like 316 in your buddy's pager? I just aged myself like 100 years, but you would put 316 in there, and then your buddy would get the page, and you like start beating up on him, like ah.
Yeah, like even when he was chasing after the Rock, like he did the same thing. He said, "I'm going to page you to 316, so you know your ass whipping's coming." Like,
oh, I mean, that's everyone did that. Yeah, he threw the belt into the what was it, into the river? Like that was good stuff.
Yep.
And by the way, I only know this because I was working for WCW at the time and we were all in the back watching it on TV.
So was everybody else.
Yeah. So what was that
worst
like?
Worst secret ever, right?
What was that time like? Just being there and like the constant battle back and forth and the counter programming and everything. Like, what was it like to be around that stuff?
It was awesome. It was everyone, you had a real sense of urgency that your stuff mattered. I came in, started in 95, and times were rough in wrestling at that time. Yeah. We were giving out, you know, if you wanted tickets to one of our shows, it wasn't like, here's a seat. Here, it wasn't even like, here's a row. It's like, here's a section, man. Go bring all your friends. But once the NWO hit, it was like tough times, man. You're like, hey, you can't just bring in a buddy. You got to like have an A-game person to bring in to get these seats. I mean, it was sold out every single night. It was that good. I mean, it was really, I mean, think back. I mean, you know, I used to travel with Scott Norton, and unbelievably, there was some guy that would follow us in our rental car leaving with the NWO music every night, and we had to like ditch him. People were taking it like so serious, right?
Can you imagine getting you and Scott Norton in a car and you try and follow you and get you guys upset? It's like, how much?
Well, the good thing is, it was going to take us 10 minutes to get out of the car to beat you up.
I was going to ask, how do you feel? How was it working with another Juice in 98 with Juventud Guerrera on pay per view?
It was good. They sort of, I guess, he took off his mask and they decided that for that, I was going to have to do the job. And it was good. I mean, I got to take a Hurricanrana, which was good, and some other stuff, and got to show that I had maybe a little more depth than just the big bump at the end. So it was good.
Do you ever go back and watch some of your stuff, or is that
no,
just kinda...
not really?
Okay.
You know what? It's weird. I live like a really I work a full time job, and I spend time with my son and my daughter and my wife and family, and coach a little basketball on the side, and I'm just like a normal guy, but I have this like past that's like
Legendary.
You guys will never leave me alone. I can't go anywhere.
and you know what? I think that's great because you left a lasting impression on all of us. Like, and then I go back and I'm looking like you had like a cup of coffee in WCW, but it was so memorable between the Yeti and being part of the flock. Like that will forever be ingrained in every wrestling fan's brain if they grew up during that era.
Yeah. The Yeti gets me carte blanche. I get moved into the VIP section. So
do you still have all the suit? What was the outfit like?
You know what? It was just literally, I showed up, I had long johns on and they wrapped me in stuff from the training room. And that was it.
I'm not.
The best part about it is they put me in this, so they wrap me up, all the stuff I can barely see, and I'm not moving too well. I never really moved that great anyhow. And then they go, all right, hey, we're going to do this explosion, all this fire stuff. And I'll never forget, Paulendorf goes, hey, if you catch on fire, just drop and roll, and then we'll like put you out. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? You gotta be kidding me.
Words of wisdom from Mr. Wonderful. Stop.
Yeah,
drop
and I'm
roll.
Thinking, man, yeah, like after you beat the hell out of what's his name? God, you know the guy. You kicked the shit out of him. You're gonna kick the shit out of me and tell everyone that you're just trying to put me out of on fire, right? Leon White, yeah.
Vader.
Yeah, you beat up Vader. You're gonna beat me up and tell everyone you're just trying to put out the fire. No, I'm not doing that. Crazy man.
I have to ask, because how did you become part of the Ricky Dozen Memorial Show?
They just called and said, you know what? See, my whole entire career is other people getting sick and not being able to make the shows. I just show up. So.
Okay, who got sick?
Some guy from the West Coast that couldn't make the show. And they said, hey, man, we know another big guy. And I flew out for it. And I want to let you know, here's another thing that I'm claiming is I think that I might have had one of the greatest weeks in professional wrestling. I pinned Hashimoto, and then I flew back and I tapped out Dusty Rhodes all within one calendar week.
Wow. That's
I want someone else to tap the top that, right?
Yeah,
that's according to the problem is only like 500 people saw both of these, so it was not really.
Also, according to the cage match, you also went to a no contest with Abdul the Butcher.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Wow.
They brought somebody in to like do the blade for me because it wasn't that I wasn't going to do it, but they're like, oh no, we really want like three guys to get bladed. And I was like, okay. They brought three guys in that like attacked, and I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, hey.
It's got to be great. Have you shown your kids any of your appearances in WCW video games? Because I would think that would be a huge deal.
Yeah, no, he likes my son. I have one son, great kid, loves the video games, not really into wrestling, like just doesn't get it, which is fine. He just doesn't resonate with him at all. But
it's still kind of cool. Like, dad's in a video game. Like,
yeah. You know, that's when I knew that I had to get a real job, as I was in Ingles, which is a grocery store down here, and they had the video game was like $2 for $5 in the discontinued bin. I'm like, oh, it's time to get a job.
But I tell you what, though, the WCW Revenge game, like part of like that entire series of games, those are still so
good,
like revered when it comes to like wrestling video games.
Yeah, it was really good. And you know what? That was like the first video game. So they came and were like, hey, you got to stick around and take pictures for video games. And everyone was like, what? Come on, man. No way. And it took them like 30 minutes to do it. And everyone didn't piss them off, but it was just, you know, like, oh, what a drag. And then you got a check for like 15 grand 6 months later. You're like, holy shit, man. I'll wait 30 minutes anywhere for a 15 grand check. You know, the video game was really good. Yeah, they sent you the video game. And you're like, well, this is really cool, man. Cutting edge, right?
So you got paid 30K an hour to take pictures.
Yeah. I mean, set me up for a 40 hour week, man. Come on.
Yeah. And Raven was like, yeah, bro, you guys can all leave. Don't worry about it. I'll take that.
Yes. Yes. Part of the flock fee, right?
Raven on the cut. It's WCW NWO Revenge. It's Goldberg, Hogan, Nash, and Raven.
Yeah. I hope he got a good check for being on the cover, though. That thing sold a lot, too, right?
Yeah, that entire series sold millions of copies.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that was the smartest thing WWF did, was they managed to pull that company away and start making the WWF games, which also sold like crazy as well.
I just remember I was very like, very.
Was Raven at the gathering this weekend or 2 weeks ago?
As a member of the flock, I can't go anywhere without Raven. He has to be there. Yeah. He's the one that led us out there and told us, sign autographs. And we were like, whatever.
Have you gotten a chance
Everyone
to watch
was
this?
There except for
Sick Boy.
Little Billy Kidman. Sick Boy said he was coming just to spite you guys.
Little Billy Kidman.
Well, Billy grew up, right?
Yes, Little Billy Kidman was, hey, Billy, we don't care what you do in the match. Just do the 420 splash at the end and we'll be all right. Okay, hey, thanks.
show us some of them nudie pictures of Tori.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, he did all right for himself.
Yes, he did.
Have you seen Raven's new documentary?
Oh, you know what? I'm trying to fit it into my very busy schedule, but I will see it, yes.
Someone on this panel thinks you were or are a pumpkin farmer. Is that true?
You know what? It was, I'm not a pumpkin. I've grown pumpkins, but never professionally. I grew pumpkins when my son was younger, and I thought it would be funny to put that on my Wikipedia page.
Wait a second.
Halloween Havoc connection.
Yeah, there wasn't you go. There, yes.
Didn't you, wasn't there some story on God, what was that old WWF, behind the scenes or uncovered or confidential, where you're growing fucking pumpkins? Are you a big pumpkin guy? Yeah, I think you are.
Well, yeah, I'll take credit for it.
All right.
I went to like Home Depot and they had like those giant pumpkins that you could grow. And I thought it'd be funny to grow them with my son. And then the pumpkins never grew that big. And then someone asked me to do a Wikipedia page and I put in there that I was a pumpkin farmer. And I thought it'd be funny, but it never... Yeah.
So you don't have your own pumpkin patch?
No, currently I do not, but you never know, right? Now
you
I might start.
You didn't grow award-winning pumpkins.
Yes.
No visits from the Great Pumpkin?
Nope.
This is all very
Charlie
disappointing.
Charlie Brown's very upset. I know, Ryan.
Yeah.
Huh. Something else that's not on the list.
Yes. And I think one time I put on there that I was a professional sandcastle builder.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
But I traveled around and did competitions around the world with sandcastle building, but I never really.
You got to punch it up. You need a picture of yourself in a Speedo on the beach, just like with one of those buckets that's in the shape of a castle.
Well, no, I was going to do the Dungeon of Doom and have that there as my, build, right? Instead of a castle, the dungeon.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And I'm sure, have the Yeti on top of it.
I'm sure in 2025 we can get somebody to make that happen.
All right, 100%. Yes. At least like on a birthday cake or something, right?
That would rule. Hey, Cage Match. I don't know if you're familiar with the website Cage Match.
No.
So they keep
make
track
me of, hip guys. Help me out.
We're trying. Would they keep track of all your matches and stuff, right?
Okay.
And all your alter egos. And they don't have any matches listed under it, but it says one of your alter egos was the Vanilla Gorilla.
Yeah. So when I first started, I thought that if you were going to get into wrestling, you had to have a cool name. So I came up with a Vanilla Gorilla. Whoops. And that was just the name that I used when I was trying to break into wrestling. And everyone thought it was a cool name. And when you're tall and you have a cool name, everyone just thinks that you're a professional wrestler. So that's all I had really had. I couldn't work a lick, but I had a cool name and I was tall.
Was that more of a play on Vanilla Ice or Magilla Gorilla?
Oh, Magilla Gorilla.
Fuck yeah. I love that.
And I, everyone would thought I looked like Donkey Kong and I was throwing barrels at little Mario. So
put that on the list. Get him in.
So let me ask you guys some questions. What do you guys normally talk about on your podcast?
Shitting while my wives are in the shower.
Pumpkin patches. Okay. Pumpkin
Did you give patches. A courtesy flush on the shit?
100%.
No, you did not.
No, he didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You sat there and held a whole conversation. It was fucking
weird. Did you spray like a little like potpourri stuff? Like,
oh, yeah. I have the potpourri spray that I use.
Okay, good.
So I'm not leaving the scent.
Tell your wife that you talked to the Yeti and the Yeti said it was it wasn't the greatest day of your life, but you tried. You should get points for that.
I feel vindicated.
Yes. Tell her if the Yeti approves it, then there's not much more else she can ask for.
That's it. It's on the list.
Yeah. Yes.
We talk about wrestling. We talk about if you should wear socks in your house. Do you shit with the door open? Have you ever washed your underwear in a porta john? Stuff like that.
No, never in the porta john. Very scared of porta johns.
I didn't even bring that up there, Double T. That was...
Yes, but you say I do my laundry in the porta john. I shit my pants once, and I had to clean them out.
Come on now, one time?
No,
one time.
He had to use a porta john to clean
his drawers. No, one time this week.
One of the times.
I am not the last wizard to shit their pants. I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay, good. All right.
That guy.
I think he's next to you.
That guy actually shit the bed, let alone his pants.
What?
He shit the bed next to his wife while she was sleeping.
No, no, she was not there. She was not there for that one.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I mean, if she was, she would never be there again, right?
No, probably not.
She knew better that night.
Yeah.
What was the last
one? Oh, a true, now, true story.
Like, is it you eat something that night? Like you went out to like a sushi buffet, or
I don't know what it was, but yeah, I had a real bad case of food poisoning that night.
Okay,
just right in the middle of the night, just woke up and whoops.
So you know a storm was a brewing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I shit my pants twice on Christmas, different years.
So proud.
It's like pulling number 27 in the Royal Rumble.
Let me ask you guys a question for about the WWE. How is John Cena's last match going to be?
Is it worth
tuning in?
Yeah, I think so. I think he loses to Gunther. I think he goes out giving Gunther the big win.
I think the Undertaker has to come in and pin him, right? Because the Undertaker was the guy who had his first match, right? So he can't have the first last match with anybody else except the Undertaker.
No, it would be Kurt Angle, right? Kurt Angle was the Kurt first Angle. Guy.
Was it Kurt Angle?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kurt Angle. You know, Undertaker gave him the first rub. Like, he was in the locker room, and he's like, good job, kid, and he shook his hand. Okay. Like, they were really giving John Cena the rub that night.
Yeah. Well, I think... Yeah, I don't know. It should be interesting. I wish him all the luck, though. I think he's been there so long and done all this.
Yeah, but
he's drawn this thing out for so long, so it needs to go.
Do you keep up with the current product at all?
Well, I go to bed early, so it's on late, and I don't have Peacock, so I can't really watch Monday night. But Friday nights, I usually watch something if there's not another sporting event on.
Now, I had another. We talked about. Revenge and royalties for Raven. Do you think, have you ever been approached about doing any sort of merch or an action figure for any of the gimmicks you portrayed?
I have not, and I am 100% open to it. Please.
You should seriously reach out to like Matt Cardona, who formerly Zack Ryder. And
I saw him at the WrestleCade.
Those guys, not only like maybe it wouldn't be with them, but they have their own action figures. They know a lot about the figure industry, right. And whether they could get you contacts with a company or even with like Mattel. And I don't know if you'd get a Legends deal with that, but I think there'd be they've been doing a Monday Night Wars line of action figures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I absolutely think there's room for a Reese and or Yeti figure that people would absolutely go crazy for. They've made Shockmaster. Like They've made lesser important figures. Like, you're in the pantheon of WCW. I think you're very memorable. So I think there's room for that.
I think the Yeti for sure.
I have a Gobbledygooker figure.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And it was an official, like, they actually made it, and it was a two-pack with The Undertaker.
I absolutely think there's room for that. And then, especially if they sell it, you could go, if you go to these conventions, that's something you could sign.
Well, look, I'm going to let you guys know, anybody listening, my email address is ronreeseis72@gmail.com. That's the official Dungeon of Doom email address. Go straight to the dungeon. Pretty easy. Ron Reese, R-E-I-S, is 72@gmail.com.
Is the backup Ron's Picking Pumpkins?
Yes. Oh,
at Gmail?
Okay. That's his family account. Stop.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
I thought I'd find out if Ron's coming out for Christmas. They email that. So Ron, we've been pretty open about us shitting our pants. Have you ever dabbled in the brown frown in your drawers in your career?
You know, I maybe once or twice there's been a juicy fart. Yes.
Oh, please tell me.
But the problem is in the Yeti outfit, though. I mean, the juicy fart is just unbelievable because you're all in white, so it's crazy.
It's like the Maria Menounos thing.
Yes.
At least you have something to wipe yourself with right away.
There you go. Yes. Everyone thinks it's toilet paper, but it's not toilet paper. It's like some kind of cloth or something. But yes.
What are the recollect? I think we kind of briefly touched on it earlier, but like you were the Yeti at the end of Halloween Havoc 95, but by World War III, the next month, that you were already super giant ninja. And did they tell you, like, because I know they branded it as having three giants, three ring. Were you one of those giants? Because I feel like they ended up making it like Hogan, and they just like called other people giants when it was really like you were one of them for sure.
So I believe the thought what the beginning was, it was going to be the big or the giant, Paul White. It was going to be the Yeti, was going to be George Gonzalez.
Oh my God. Elegante.
El Gigante. And then I was going to be like the Sonny Ono's guy that he brought in from Japan. And there was going to be three rings, three giants, never been done before, craziness. And they had shirts that said the three giants and all that stuff. But then, like, George got sick and went home back to Argentina. So that's when I filled in as the Yeti. And, you know, after that, and then, you know, the Yeti went so smashingly that they put, you know, thought that they wanted to run with it for so long that they were like, defrost this kid and just make him the Yeti or the giant ninja and get done with it. Yeah.
Now I've watched World War III recently, 95.
Oh, it's phenomenal, right? That wasn't bad.
When they all team up, does Arn Anderson turn your mask while they're throwing you out?
No, Arn Anderson does not. It was Brian Pillman.
What a dick.
Well, so it was, you know, at this time I like, you know, had a stellar debut at the last pay-per-view. So I get this new one and I'm like very nervous about going out there, all this craziness. And then Arn Anderson comes up and he's like, hey man, we got this great idea for you tonight. You know, if it was a real fight, everyone would gang up and throw you out right away so that, you know, they could have a normal fight. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy's really trying to give me the smoothie here because, you know, I'm the shits and they just want to get me out. But, you know, hey. So I get out there and I'm nervous. I'm just going, you know, stressed out to say the least. And Brian Pillman just comes in there, turns my mask around backwards. And by the time I get it corrected, I'm on the floor and my match is over. I'm like, wow, this is great.
That's really funny.
I mean, like, literally just landed and whoa, now I'm back. Okay. I can see again. Holy shit. What happened to me?
It's kind of like, talk to me about 2019 when you get to wrestle with Brian Pillman Jr. Like, because you had been out of the ring for quite a bit of time before you stepped back between the ropes, no?
Oh, yeah. Where did I wrestle with him at?
A six-man gauntlet challenge.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That was like Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was fun.
How did you get involved with that?
Some guy said he wanted the Yeti. I said, sure, I'll be there. I mean, it's that easy. Money talks.
Yeah, I guess.
Nobody got sick this time.
No. And it was in Atlanta. So I said, oh, yeah, I'm more happy. I think that was like the beginning of AEW, too, because there was all those guys there, and Tony Khan was sort of there, and they were trying to put some stuff together.
Oh, yeah, Joey Janela did commentary, Kevin Gill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Thunder Rosa, Penelope Ford, Ricky Starks, Ethan Page. What a card.
Yeah, they had Hangman Page was there. I shared a locker room with him.
Oh, yeah, and, MJF, yeah.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes was there. The Bucks were there.
Yeah. Oh, wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Did you share any stories with Cody about spending time in Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling?
No, I did not, but I remember him being there when he was like 15 years old. His mom would drop him off after school, and he would come hang out, and then he did some refereeing and other behind-the-scenes work at Turnbuckle.
That's
so I wanted to interject here real quick. You brought up this shirt, and I actually do happen to have this shirt.
Yes, wow.
I can't believe you actually brought it up, because it was one of the shirts I brought for my parents. But yeah, it was wild that they thought that Elegante would even be – he hadn't worked since 93, so 2 years later seems like – I don't know how much more he could have handled, because he was lumbering around.
He came
around.
Up and did it. He came up and did some vignettes and stuff, and then I guess, you know, he had
– Really?
Yeah, he had the sugars, and he went back down to Argentina.
What are the sugars?
Oh, diabetes. He was diabetic.
Oh,
that's what we call it here in the South, the sugars. But he was he was diabetic, and he went back to and then I guess he did a UFC fight or Pride fight after that.
No,
you got did me. I'd love, really? I'd love to see those vignettes if they were somewhere out there. I can't believe they even filmed anything. Was he? Do you remember like seeing those happen or? You just heard about
it. I just know that they were like, hey, man, you got to get down to Florida like tomorrow. And I was like, what? They're like, yeah, we need you for these vignettes. And I just, okay.
Because I wonder, had he gone back to the Elegante? Would he kept the weird thing he had as Giant Gonzalez? Like, how would he have looked in 1995? That's kind of fascinating to me.
They might have had the El Gigante and then, like, put some frosting on him for, like, he was frozen, right?
Oh, my God.
Frosted got some of that spray, yeah. Yeah. For your Christmas tree, the whiteout.
Fucking frozen in that dumb bodysuit.
Those goddamn sugars took it from all of us.
Yeah.
What was it like coming out of that giant block of ice at the end of Nitro?
Loud. And the weird thing is, like, I don't think they timed it right, because I didn't really get a full time. Okay, all right, yeah.
It did. It was like they said, "Oh my God, what's happening?" And then you popped out, and then like it was already roll credits. And I felt that they didn't get the like that's how they were going to promote the pay per view was on like a 2 second thing. But that's WCW for you.
That was at that time it was very cut and paste. Now you know it's much better, right?
Oh yeah, it's almost to a point where WWE seems like it's almost too polished, like everything's perfect, you know.
Almost like it's a Disney like show down at Disney where like the pirate comes out like, hey, and then there's a fight, you know. It's all right, and we're gonna do this at 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. Okay,
shoot the arrow and watch the fireworks go off. You fucking hand
up. Wow, yeah, hey, woo, crazy.
Did you ever work the Disney WCW tapings?
I did. They were awesome.
Wow. That's
they
so
were literally
cool.
Like 10 days of debauchery, though. It was just crazy.
I can't imagine.
But the flock, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, just debauchery down there. And they had everyone like at the same hotel, so it was just like, you know, whoa.
Now, did you have to, you guys didn't have to, like, you talked earlier about, like, people following, like, you and Scott Norton. Like, today, like, wrestling fans are out of their fucking minds. Like, they're going to people's houses and stuff. Like, you didn't have to deal with that back in the day, did you?
You know, I just remember I lived in a townhouse, and every time the school bus would come around, like, 3 o'clock, they would yell, Goldberg, Goldberg. And I thought it was sort of funny. My wife would get really mad, like, oh, I don't don't they know you're trying to make a living? I'm like, look, sweetheart, it's, you know, it's no big deal, right? Like, hey. But they would yell, Goldberg.
As long as they're making noise, right?
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it was good. Wow. But, you know, you guys talk about wrestling being crazy. I mean, I did the WrestleCade last week. There was 10,000 people at this place.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Just amazing. And, you know, it was... You know, you hear about how tough the economy is, and all these guys are out there buying stuff, going crazy, you know, buying autographs. It's a great time to be in wrestling.
Yeah, and I think like, you know, events like WrestleCade, they bring, especially folks like us who have been, you know, lifelong wrestling fans for sure, you know, decades, to get to see the people that we grew up watching, people that we watched like during the Monday Night Wars, like even the Golden Age back in the 80s. Some folks still come around, like who worked in the 70s, you know, like it's that chance to kind of meet your heroes and get a picture with them and, yeah, you know, share a moment with them. It's cool all around. It really is.
You know what I like about it too is a lot of guys are wrestling fans, but they have certain categories that they like. Like I have a buddy who's a Four Horsemen freak, right? That's all he really, you know, wanted to get the Four Horsemen's autograph. And then another guy's like an NWO guy, and then another guy's like a Demolition fan, you know, and it's like all these guys are there. You can sort of get your little whatever you like in wrestling, they're going to be there, you know?
Exactly.
And also, like, a lot of those guys, like, from that era, like, as fans, you, like, feel connected to them, right? So I'm not...
Yeah.
You look at when WWE does this like Fanatics thing out here in New York, and it's like $300 for like an autograph, and like they just kind of push you through the line like cattle. Like I'd rather spend $20 and talk to Joel Deaton and talk to him for 15 minutes.
Wow,
you know?
Joel Deaton, the Outlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I really liked it. We got to meet a lot of fans. The Flock got together. Perry Saturn was there and looking really good, too, man, moving around. Saturn.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to get him on your show. He's an interesting cat.
I would love, if you have contact information for Perry Saturn, I would love to have Perry Saturn on the show.
Yeah.
Perry Saturn.
I'll see what I can do to help make up for Sick Boy.
Perry Saturn is in the flock at gmail.com.
Perry's Pumpkin Patch, 21.
Pumpkin
yeah.
Patch.
Yeah.
Perry has his own pumpkin patch, and he does Christmas trees. Perry does Christmas trees. I do nice pumpkins.
Okay.
And we have like a holiday, you know, corner that we just have our stuff on.
Raven raises that? Chickens to paint Easter eggs.
Yes. All your holiday needs, come see the flock.
Who does the turkey?
We don't believe in that. It's a pagan holiday. We just like the good stuff.
Why did your tenure in WCW just kind of like ended? What is there a story there? Or was it just like, all right, like I did what I did?
Well, they're making cutbacks, and Bob Sapp showed up at the power plant, and they were like, holy shit, this guy's a monster. We got to bring him in, and we can't just bring – we got to cut somebody to bring him in. And I was just standing there, and they said, you know what, we're going to cut this guy and bring in Bob Sapp. And at the time, Bob Sapp looked really good. And I was like, man, that's a good swap there. So, yeah, I got – my 30th birthday, I got called into WCW, and they told me, hey, we're not renewing your contract. It's been fun. And then I went and worked out for WWE, and they were really hot on it. It seemed like there was a lot of interest there. And I heard that I was going to be the bodyguard for Christian and Edge. And then they decided to go with Tomko instead, and the interest waned. How's that for being politically correct?
Tomko's a bum.
Yeah, who do you ever beat?
I think he's Canadian. I think that was a big deal back then.
Oh, so they're an all-Canadian
bunch. Yes. 3/4 of the dollar.
Jesus.
Life after
and then
wrestling.
I came back and did I did a show with TNA with Raven a couple years ago. That was really good with Scott D'Amore when he was at TNA. And I haven't done much since. I did the WrestleCade, which was fun.
We need to get that Yeti action figure going.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's a sleeper big hit.
Yes. Maybe, what about a Yeti Christmas ornament that you could put on your tree?
You start with one thing, you could get as many. Yeah, you could be the top of the tree.
On the top of the tree.
No, but it's,
there's plenty of options.
Instead of sitting on top of the tree, it wraps his arms around the top of the tree and shakes.
What if I hump the angel?
Yes.
Hump the angel.
We just got the theme of the show.
I want to see that popping up. Episode 83, Humping the Angel.
Oh, Ron, this is episode 771.
Yeah, we've been at this for a minute.
You guys
been
busy, huh?
Well, once a week
we
are.
How'd you guys all get together? Just, hey, what are you doing Tuesday night or Monday night?
I mean,
long story very short, Double T and I have known each other for a very long time. We started this up back in like 2011, and over the years, we brought in HK, Handsome Kevin, we brought in Brundo, and
I don't know about that, but
Juice happens to be a good friend of the show. He's doing his own thing, so we bring him in periodically when we're in the mood to get that WCW fix.
Who's your favorite WCW guy?
The Yeti.
Great answer. Great answer.
I think Sting is like an obvious choice. I'm fond of so much of WCW. Like I grew up on it. Like you guys were talking, you brought up how like Hogan was maybe too cool, and that's what kind of turned people on to like loving cool heels. I always tell people I'm 32. I grew up with Hulk Hogan as a bad guy. I didn't grow up with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, really? Wow.
You know, so it's a different dynamic. Throughout. So, I mean, Sting was my hero to defeat that Hogan, you know, like that guy was, it was a unique dynamic of how that played. But I mean, I don't know. I like the Flock. I enjoyed a lot of the stuff that went around. I don't know how many characters in WCW I wouldn't have enjoyed, to be honest with you. I mean, that's what I have in here. Apologist, historian, and Mark. So I just big fan that's of, fun. We watched Nitro and we taped Raw. That's just how it was.
I'll never forget, we were in, I want to say, Chattanooga, and they did the fake Sting, and I thought the people were going to riot and destroy the building. I mean, they lost their shit when that fake Sting came out, and they really thought it was Sting, or, you know, they did not know it was the fake Sting, so it was pretty crazy.
It was pretty seamless of how they kind of made it work, because the guy they had was pretty damn accurate. I mean, he was a wrestler too. Yeah, Jeff Farmer. So they couldn't have done any better with that. Like sometimes it's you know, tough to do. And I remember they did the scene. It was raining outside, and like the fake thing beat up Luger, but because it was raining and dark, you couldn't really tell, and it was like perfect.
And there was that question of whether Sting was going to really turn it, you know, and it was like, yeah. Remember if you saw like a black limo back in the day, you're like, oh my god, that's the NWO.
Yeah,
there were an awful lot of people getting out of limos back in the Attitude Era in the NWO days. Every weekend. Not for anything, but these guys are supposed to be showing up, what, for like call time at 3 o'clock? Who do they think they are rolling up 8:30, 9 o'clock in the middle of the show? How dare they?
Know, the other thing that was great is you knew that the limo was going to get destroyed when you saw like a, this was in like 96, you saw like an 88 limo pull up. You're like, all right, the limo's getting destroyed tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, Ron, you shared a locker room with Rey Mysterio Jr. Nick Khan, the head muckety muck over there at TKO, came out this week and he said that Rey was a nothing burger in WCW. Could you, how do you feel about that?
I think that Rey Mysterio, when you talk about the NWO, has to play a critical role because he was the human lawn dart that went right into the building there.
Yep.
That is what Larry Zbyszko called him.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, you're like, holy shit, is that guy going to die? Or, I mean, he was only 5 feet when he started. When he finished out, he was 4'9". He hit that thing so hard.
And that whole entire night, it was serious. Like, Jimmy Hart came running to the ring, and Jimmy Hart didn't
give a shit.
Oh my God, baby. Like, come on to the back. And then everybody ran. And even the cameras were, like, moving, like, because the cameraman was running. Because, you know, nothing was set up back there. And by the time the camera got there, everybody, they laid waste to everyone with the baseball bats. It was great TV.
It was, and at the time, like, nothing was, oh, they can't do that. Oh, they just did it, right? Yep. Like, what? So crazy. Could you imagine what they would do now with all the what is it like? Not the helicopters, but the drones going around and stuff. I mean, it would be crazy what they would do.
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
Oh, my God. It still gives me goosebumps.
Say hello. Now, this is a question I have for you guys because you're a panel. So I like Scott Hall, liked Razor Ramon. When he passed away out of just out of being coolness to him, I answered my phone, hey, yo, for 1 year in memory of Scott Hall. But I'm still sort of doing it. Is that all right?
Yes.
100%. Yeah, why not? 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're paying homage to, yes. You know, a former colleague of yours.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. Say hello to the Yeti.
Did you ever find it weird how Tony Schiavone pronounced that? The Yeti?
You know, it's fun. I have it as one of my ringtones. It's the Yeti! It's the Yeti! That's incredible. So if you go to YouTube and put in WCW the Yeti, there's like a song that's 10 minutes long of just, it's the Yeti! It's the Yeti! And yes, I have it as a ringtone. And yeah. Don't tell anybody that I have it as a ringtone, but yes.
10 minutes, you say, huh?
Oh, dude, it's the longest thing ever. Like, at some point, you're like, Jesus, make this thing stop, man. It's like a Tecmo Disco, the Yeti, and it's under WCW, the Yeti, on YouTube.
Don't tell. Tony's going to find that in, like, 2 minutes.
Oh, you want me to look?
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't look already.
I love stuff like that. You ever hear J.R. You ever hear JR my ass? No. somebody took all the sound bites of Jim Ross calling commentary on one of the old wrestling video games, and they set it to, like, it starts out with the Oklahoma theme song, but then it breaks into a remix, and he's just like, everything is from his ass. He's broadcasting Raw live from his ass. Somebody's like dropping elbows in his ass. Like, wow.
Jesus.
People are really creative
every week, Ron.
You ask what they do. This is the best of the best here.
And you only come like every month, once a month, this thing, man.
Sometimes more.
Yeah, that was you just threw a softball to Handsome Kevin Eastman. Oh, Mike, he couldn't wait. He almost fucking came on the screen. Every Monday, Ron. We're live every Monday.
All right, good. Well, you guys have to send me a link to your website. I'd love to listen to you guys.
Yeah, 100%.
And remember, make sure that all your fans are going to watch The Unbreakable Bunch. It is on some kind of platform out there to watch. And it is a great movie. Everyone should watch it. It's a great movie to sit down with your family over the holidays and watch.
Now, Ron, if we all sit down and watch it, will you come back and chat with us about the film after we've done our homework?
Yes, we will. We'll do. What was that science movie where they had the two guys in the
Mystery Science Theater 3000?
We'll do that. Yes,
I like it.
Oh my God! A watch along to the Unbreakable Bunch.
Yes,
with the Yeti.
Watch the Unbreakable Bunch on Tubi. For free.
Plex. Oh man!
What for free?
For free.
There were my retirement plans.
I'm sorry. It's on Amazon Prime for $3.
$3.
How do they split that up between a bunch of wrestlers? Jeez.
If you go ahead and watch it, charge me back. I'll pay half of it. Charge me back $1.50.
Is The Unbreakable Bunch a Christmas movie?
It's a phenomenal Christmas movie. It's an Easter movie. It is a Valentine's Day movie. It is a St. Patrick's Day movie. It's a Thanksgiving movie. There's so many genres in this movie that it's whatever you want it to be.
It's the number one Juneteenth movie in the country.
Yes. It's up for many Academy Awards.
Fuck yeah. Hey, Ron, when you first joined us, you said you had a story for us. I don't know if you told it already.
I
wanted to bring it back.
So my son, I So I just moved to Charlotte. We're buying a house up here, and I've been staying with my son and his wife. And there was a tall party in town. Some guy on Instagram had a tall party, and it was at a bar in Charlotte. And I went to the bar in Charlotte, and I was crowned the tallest man, the king of Charlotte, at 7'2" on Saturday night, and I got an actual crown.
You don't happen
there
to have
2,000 people there.
Wow! Holy shit!
You don't have 2,000. You don't happen to have the crown in the room there with you, do you?
I'm not in the room. It's downstairs, but yeah, no. It's a nice crown too. It's a little small for my big head, but.
Well, you would think that they would put some thought into that, right? Like, they're not just going to give the crown to some 5'8" chud, right? I mean,
you know. No, and the other thing that was a little disappointing is they had t-shirts for sale there, but they were double extra large was the biggest they had. It's like, come on, man.
That's terrible planning.
That's a
2XL. Come on, that's...
How did you deal with the travel in the WCW days being that can't... I'm not a big person. Tall wise,
well,
fat. Yeah, jerk off. I hate traveling on airplanes. It hurt everything.
I got first class. That was nice. Yeah,
all the time.
And those points, they add up quickly when you're getting first class. So it was nice.
Say, what was your agent, Barry Bloom, getting them first?
He class? Was actually. Yeah. Oh,
fuck yeah. Yeah.
Barry Bloom had like 1,000 wrestlers that were really good, or 99 wrestlers that were really good. And he had one bad one.
So. Oh, he had Big Train Bart too. That's a shame.
Yes. Yeah, Barry Bloom was hot stuff back in the day. He was the guy that would get you a guaranteed contract. Like, all right, cool.
That's awesome. And yet he hasn't gotten you a Yeti action figure. What the fuck?
Nope. Yeah, I mean, he's sleeping. Is he still doing agents for wrestlers?
I don't know. I'll have to give him a call this week. I'll check out for you.
All right. Barry is Bloom. Chris Jericho coming back?
That's
the big scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been saying he interjected himself at Survivor Series. He was the man in the mask.
Man. You know what? That's pretty good for him to climb that fence that quickly at 55 years old, man. You got to think about that.
Well, he's been getting in shape according to what I've been reading.
All right. I would just imagine, like, you're climbing up the fence and you're like, holy shit, dude, this thing's sort of high, man. What the hell?
And so am I.
Yeah, can I just go around and jump in? I mean, come on, man.
I would have loved to have seen Ron Reach. I would have loved to have seen Ron Reese climbing the cage and getting involved.
Hell no. I would have been stuck on the top there.
Looks like Barry Bloom is still doing his thing.
He's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that guaranteed contracts were good for wrestling or bad for wrestling?
Good for you guys, for sure. I don't know. I think it hurt WCW in the end because
they were giving it to everybody, right?
Everybody on the roster was getting it. And
I mean, even the low-end guys, because they were in a war. They just didn't want people showing up in WWF.
I mean, did WCW really have to pay Bret Hart $3 million? Because WWE was not going to pay him $3 million.
I mean, so, I had no problem with them paying $3 million if they had him do something other than be the ref in his first appearance. Right. I think the creative was lacking, not the funds.
It's like, wow, we got him. Now what do we do with him? Oh, shit.
Yeah, we'll have Goldberg kick his head off.
Yeah.
They had Lanny Poffos on their contract. I don't think he was on WCW once.
And Iron Sheik, nobody canceled his contract. It rolled over for another year. He got paid to do nothing.
Sheiky Baby was awesome.
He really was. He really was.
I think they have files out there where you can see all the guys that were paid and how much they were getting paid. I'm pretty sure it's out there somewhere.
It's got to be, especially when they were a public company at one time, too, so... You know, the funny thing is you cannot get health insurance. You cannot get 401k. You were all
Independent contractor.
Yeah. Independent contractor, yeah.
Which is funny because nowadays, if you look at, like some of the guys who are involved in The Office, because they're on the office side of things, they actually are within corporate structure. So they wind up getting the 401ks. They wind up getting the health insurance. So that's why like a lot of these guys try to parlay into office stuff. Like, you know, like you take a guy like John Laurinaitis, you stick him in the office, like now he's made, you know, like, you know, that's what guys kind of hope for once they get older, you know?
It's 401's nice. I'm with a company now and it's good. They matched me 4%. Put that 4% in there. Found money, right?
Yeah, that ain't bad at all.
No, it's not.
Those pumpkin folks are really hooking you up.
Yes. We even make pumpkin pies on the weekends.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What's your favorite pie?
I like a pecan pie.
What was the answer? Pecan?
I was going to say hair pie, but you know, that's
nothing wrong with hair pie.
Hair pie is good.
The hair pie is actually hard to come by these days. They like going hairless.
Yes. The new age.
Double T just shaking his head.
I also found.
Hey, how many hairs you think Ric Flair still has stuck in his teeth from back in the day?
No hair, no Flair.
Yep.
Wow. Hard to believe he's still with us, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he's out. He is out of fucking control.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's completely off the rails.
The street drugs—they're killing everybody. I found
you found the Yeti.
I'm looking for you.
He's looking for hair pie.
No, I think found he's the.
The contract. Aren't we all?
I don't think you can order that on Goldbelly, Double T.
No, I found a list. I found all the paperwork for the
shipping hair pie nationwide.
Yeah, it's Andre's hair.
Hey, Ron, maybe that's the kind of business you need to tap into.
Yes, there's. You can make a lot of money in that.
Shipping hair pie to the contiguous 48 states and Canada.
Canada, yes.
Take that shit international. Come on, Double T.
I'm looking. All right. Well, Ron, I know it's late. I know we've had you for well over an hour. This has been absolutely amazing. You are a treasure. And this has been such a good time.
Do I rank in the top 10 guests?
Top five, easily. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Top three.
And I'll get Sick Boy to come back, and I'll get Raven to come say hello to you.
You know what? Funny story. We had Raven a long time ago.
A very long time ago.
Somebody wasn't paying attention to the questions we were asking him. And somebody asked the same question that had just been asked. And then Raven was like, "Hey guys, I got to go walk my dog." And he left the show.
Wow. I'll get Perry Saturn for you too. Perry's good stuff.
Oh, Perry is a dream. Yeah. One of my favorites of all time.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. And we'd love to have you back.
Yeah, you're the best. You're the best.
Just don't ask him about Moppy. They had a very rough breakup, and it's like he's still a little sore about it.
And I'll leave you with this. In the mid-2000s, according to this information I found, Sick Boy only made $46.
Wow. Well, he was sick.
Yes.
He didn't have benefits.
He did better in 99 and 98, but $46.
He's looking good now. He's healthy boy, so we'll be good.
It's got to be a residual check from like one of the video games or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Jim Neidhart.
Sick boy shirt.
Sick boy didn't have a shirt.
Ron, an absolute pleasure. Anytime you want to come back.
Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Same to you, sir.
The Unbreakable Bunch. Go watch it. It's phenomenal.
You got it.
5 stars.
Fuck
gotta
yeah.
Get that action figure. You got to get that Yeti action figure next.
Yes. Guys, have a great evening.
Ron, thank you.
Love, Ron.
We'll talk
soon.
Take
care, Ron. Thank you so much, brother.
Look at that, Juice. You got to hang out and talk to the Yeti.
I am beaming.
He showed up early. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, I think I saw it was just, didn't you guys just promote it as a mystery guest?
Yeah, because we weren't, because, you know, we had a
we've had a very bad streak lately.
Ooh. Trust issues.
Sick Boy and Henry Godwin did not show up for our anniversary show after they confirmed. So, and our correspondence with Ron was like through Instagram, and he was like, "Hey, I'm never really on here, so here's my number." And I texted him yesterday, and he didn't respond. So, like, on a whim this morning when I sent you the link, I also sent him the link, and then he was like, "Sounds good, I'll be there." And I was like, "Oh, I guess we have the Yeti tonight," but I didn't want to promote it because I didn't want to have to put Ron Reese on the list.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all worked out. He was a great time. He had a lot of insight there throughout. I mean, we even said cup of coffee in WCW, but I mean, he had so much intel from those years that he was there, and I thought it was fascinating stuff.
It was great stuff. And Juice, this was, I'm glad you got, you appreciated it. I know you did because of your love for wrestling and WCW. So I'm happy you got to hang out with us and talk to the Yeti.
I appreciate you guys having me on here and the opportunity to talk to the Yeti, Reese, Ron Reese, Super Giant Ninja. That was the highlight, man. That it really is. You don't really get to have a chance to, you know, you go to these conventions and whatever, but you don't get to have a hour and a half conversation, you know, panel discussion with a guy like that. So that was incredible. So I appreciate it. And it was fun talking about the WCW before he even came in. Thought we touched on a lot of good topics. So
home run, Juice. What's going on the Juice Box? Anything you want to promote before we let you boogie out of here?
This week we're going to do Saturday night's main event predictions, the little John Cena last match. Very interesting to see how the rest of the card fills out and if the rest of the audience leaves after said match. I did bring the Cena CD, bought in April of 2005. It's got a whole bunch of scratches on it. And the cool part was that the inlay folds out as the whole belt.
There you go. That a boy.
So true mark. This is it's really full circle how this all happened. Like I, you know, WCW closed in 01 and I was out. I didn't watch wrestling really at all for 4 years. And then No Way Out 05 was promoted for Pittsburgh. And I was like, I don't know why this is so funny to me, but I'm like, oh, like wrestling is still a thing. I can't believe it. And then like I started watching it and John Cena piqued my interest and I was like, all right. And it was very impressionable as a 12-year-old then. So I was like, I was hook, line, and sinker with the rap record, bought the record, bought WrestleMania 21. That was the first pay-per-view we had bought since the WCW shows. And I've never looked back. I was hooked as a fan then, still going. So it's pretty wild to see him hang up the jorts. One final match. How do you guys think the match ends?
What were they touting the other day? He's only tapped out like three times in his career.
Twice to Angle, once to Benoit, and once to Jericho. So yeah, three times.
Yeah. So I think they're gonna. I think he's gonna tap out to Gunther. I don't think.
No.
He gets,
no.
Tap out or pass out because he never pass give up. Out,
just like
yeah, Goldberg. Gunther puts him to sleep.
Never give up.
To me, yeah. do you think that it's like Gunther already retired? Well, he didn't retire Goldberg, but he had his final match, what have you. If this is how they're going to go with that, do you think it's even, is it enough that he makes Cena pass out? Or do you think they need that little extra wrinkle of Cena tapping out? Or would that be too much of a bad image on Cena walking out? Do you think people would be pissed?
Oh, he passes him out. That's all.
Yeah. Never give up.
Yeah. Never. He didn't give up.
Like Triple H comes out and stops the match. Cause Triple H has to be.
He'll be the first person you'll see.
What do you mean? They did it in Boston. He came out and talked for fucking 10 minutes before they brought out John Cena. Yes. John Cena won't give up, right? And he's like passing out and whatever, and the referee's going to call for the bell, and Cena will grab the ref and it'll be like, no. And then like Triple H will come out, ring the bell, ring the bell.
Screw him over.
I'd like to see Cena don the Crimson Mask like he did at Judgment Day 05, but I don't think we're going to see it.
And then Joe Hendry will come out and lay down for John Cena.
Oh, fuck.
That's a great idea. Genius idea.
God damn it. It'll be Saturday's gonna be huge. What do you got? Bailey, Saul Ruka, Cody, Obafemi. They'll throw one more match on there probably, right?
Yeah, I want Obafemi to pin Cody clean like Kevin Owens did to Cena.
I wouldn't be surprised if they leave it as three, because you know the Cena, even the aftermath is probably gonna It'd take like forever. An hour. yeah, everybody's gonna have to suck his dick afterwards, you know.
Whoa. And it's not on NBC, so because it's on Peacock, it's practically like a PLE, so they'll have access to however long they want to make it go. They will cut it off like they did Goldberg's.
What do you want
we're
me
not
do?
Picking it. We're not picking it.
No, we're not picking it.
We're not picking it.
No, it's
why we're not picking it.
Juice, thank you so much. Add the Juicy Steen. Give him a follow. He's one of the highlights of people on social media. He's always up for a good conversation. He's very positive, and he's just a great all-around guy. Check out the Juice Box. Yeah, we'll see you down the road, Juice.
Yeah, appreciate it. Looking forward to hopping in 2026. I'm going to see what I can do and talk to people about this Ron Reese Legends deal. We got to get the Yeti figure out there.
I already tweeted at the major brother, so let's get this going.
Let's go.
I need a Yeti for the Monday night.
Get him to a reputable company.
Because it's a WCW entity, so I think WWE could own that. Otherwise, it would be not as good. So I think he should go all the way. And then you can sign those at conventions. How great would that be?
Fantastic. I'd love to see the Yeti out there.
I'd buy a Reese, too. I think Reese is a fun character.
Yes, I would love to have the whole flock as part of my collection.
Yeah. All right. See you, fellas, in 2026.
Juice, have a happy holiday.
Bye, happy Juice. Happy holidays. Care, Juice.
Happy holidays.
Same to you, fellas.
Thanks, Juice. All right. We have gone way longer than imaginable. We're not going to take a break. Right. You know the Shining Wizards Network. You know where all the shows are. Check them out. Support them. They're fantastic. We got stuff dropping on YouTube. The Joe Hendry interview I did with him right before the Ring of Honor 18th anniversary show, before the pandemic canceled that, is going to drop on Friday. Jordan Oliver interview that we did with him when he was in MLW from 2020 is dropping on the 19th. And then for Canadian Boxing Day, we're going to drop the Ethan Page interview where we open it up with him telling the shit his pants story, and then we get deeper into his involvement with TNA. So those will all be dropped on YouTube. The Patreon this month, you get three bonus shows. We got an Indie Rogue Chronicles, we got History of the Wizards, and we have the naming of the shows, which we recorded after every episode. Tony has painstakingly chopped that all together, and that will be coming out on Christmas, I believe.
That will drop on Christmas Day at noon. So you guys are getting ready to have your Christmas dinner, fish, whatever the hell you eat, if you're whatever, you can listen to us swear like fucking sailors for an hour. I listened to the other fucking titles that didn't make the cut.
it's a bit away, but I know the Street Team will be out at Winnipeg Pro Wrestling in February at the February show. So if you see SJ out there, be sure to say hello. I actually forgot that she had sent this to me, and I've yet to listen to it. I got to pull it up now because it just
popped in my
brain. Oh yeah. So apparently Jimmy Jacobs was one of the people SJ had reached out to about the anniversary show, and he didn't get back to her till late, but then he decided to send her this little voice memo. So I have not listened to this. So I'm going to crank this up and let's see if we can hear this.
Crank that shit.
Hey guys, this is 5-time Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion, former WWE, TNA, and AEW creative member, the Zombie Princess Jimmy Jacobs. And I hear the Shining Wizards podcast just celebrated their 14th anniversary. And I know, I might be a little late, but how's the saying go? A Shining Wizard is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. Something like that. So that being said, congratulations on a spectacular 14 years. I want you guys to do another 14 years.
Oh, God, no.
I always get what I want. Congratulations.
So I thought that was nice.
Fucking amazing. If I couldn't like Jimmy Jacobs anymore, like, throws a Lord of the Rings phrase in there. Just chef's kiss.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Is there anything we need to talk about? We had like a fucking laundry list of shit, but I know we're not looking to go to 10 o'clock, and I know we got to get into homework.
Homework!
How about picks real quick? How we shit the bed?
Real quick. Speaking of shit in our pants.
What? Oh, we're a fucking disaster. Me and Handsome Kevin went 1-4. Brundo and Tony went 2-3. Like, couldn't. The only one everyone got right with Ethan Page. Everybody else fucking tanked. Tanked.
Yep.
Fuck it. How do you take the title off of Ricky Saints like that fast?
Like, why even fucking put the title on him in the first place? If you're going to give him a quick 70 days, and then it's going to lead to Javon and Oba, and Javon will probably win. If that was the plan all over, like, why fucking do it?
It's been 70 days?
70 days. That was it.
Glad I don't watch
it. Yeah, you didn't hear me yelling and screaming about 70 days, man!
Fuck him, that dude. Asshole, too. Bro, I hate Booker T. I watched
5 minutes. Go back to Wendy's, Booker T.
I was 5 minutes. First of all, he said he was the longest reigning NXT champion, talking about Oba Femi. Then Vic Joseph has to correct him because he was wrong. It's North America.
Vic Joseph should correct him even when he's right. Fuck him.
I couldn't understand anything. I turned it off.
Man.
Bad.
Yeah, man.
It's awful. NXT TV this week was so much fucking better without him. Like, just like Corey Graves do fucking double duty every
you said
week.
Duty.
Please.
You said double duty.
And I think I didn't watch the Iron Survivors match, but I looked at the results and the women's had like a million fucking things happen. Pinfall submissions.
That was the, I mean, Ricky and Oba was good, but the women's one was entertaining, I thought. I mean, I love Sol Ruka and everything she does, so I might have been looking through it with Glamour Eyes or whatever they call it, because she was in it. And she shined in it like crazy, too.
So they just announced Dragon Lee, AJ Styles against Javon Evans and Leon Slater for Saturday night's main event.
Tian Evans there, Leon Slater.
Tian Evans?
Yeah, Javon Evans and Tian Evans.
HK, anything you want to talk about?
I watched the entire NXT event. I did. And I almost turned it off as soon as I remembered that it was the Iron Survivor bullshit, just because I hate the match type. And I generally enjoy watching NXT because it is, you know, you kind of get a feel for what might be coming, you know, next down the pipeline. At least an idea. I like Oba a lot. That match type fucking sucks so much. It is so much bullshit for a match, and I don't care for it at all. Slow down, everybody. Just be cool. And then the one thing that I read today that Meltzer said that pissed me off was that I'm paraphrasing the exact quote though, but it was the Don comes back. And it
Tony
was
Tony D'Angelo, yeah.
Yeah, and it was clearly racist that the Don came back. I was like, God, Meltzer, you're such a piece of shit.
In what fucking way? How is that racist?
It was a whole thing. He was really grasping for straws because D'Angelo attacked Evans and then dropped the black roses on Evans and then stared down Oba, and the whole thing was clearly a racist thing. And Meltzer's such a piece of shit. He'd go fuck himself. So that bothered me.
I think he was alluding to Triple H is the one that pulls the strings at NXT, not Shawn Michaels. See the Booker T Triple H feud from 15 years ago.
Yeah, it probably holds water.
I'm not saying it's right because I didn't see it, but I'm just saying I think that's what he was trying. Maybe he was trying to make a joke. Fail though.
Yeah, he can eat a shit.
No, he's an asshole.
He is an asshole. Yep,
he's 100% he balls Meltzer.
Yep, but I did like to see D'Angelo back because I like D'Angelo. So I'm
isn't he one of the fucking Goombas or some shit?
No, yeah, he's a Goomba. He's not number one Goomba. That's why he dropped the black roses, Tony. You should know that.
Yeah, it's in your culture.
No, it's not. He's a douche nozzle.
No, he's not a douche Goomba.
No, he's a douche
mafioso.
A douche.
Got a douche. Baba Ganoush.
Tony, anything from your, it doesn't have to be NXT related, just anything from the wrestling world you want to talk about this week?
Bye, Larry.
Oh man, come on. That's not nice.
What? Bye, Larry.
Sad.
All right. If we could condense this into 30 seconds or less, what crawled into Sarah Stock's cooch?
Bro, she's out of control.
I kind of dig it.
I love it. I love looking every night. And it's not just AEW now. Now she's going over to Matt Bloom and WWE, and Dick's hitting people in the faces, and Claudio getting mad because he's showing
it. She should join our show.
Oh my God.
I'll reach out.
Dicks and faces.
I like when people try and set the world on fire. I'm all here for it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I like when I get dicks and faces.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. If you guys can find 90 minutes, I think you should check out JCW Lunacy.
Yep. And if you got 45 more minutes, check out the Unbreakable Bunch. Nothing? It's a fucking plug.
I'm going to be watching that. I've watched JCW the last 2 weeks. It's different.
Yep.
I'm surprised Tony likes it because they curse a lot on commentary.
Know why? Because I'm used to fucking Stranglemania. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the kind of show that it is.
And they, and I don't know if I don't know how long Vince Russo has been involved or how long they've been taping, but like there's little things. It's not a perfect show. So don't fucking, this is fucking garbage. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But like, there's dudes that are like zombies and they wrestle like zombies. They don't do like wrestling moves. They fucking move like zombies and they do zombie stuff.
Like, I got the moves like zombies.
It makes sense to me. Like they're zombies, so clearly they're not doing
it. I got the
drags.
Moves.
They drop toe holds. I watched GCW Friday night. I loved it. There's a lot of weird stuff in the FE Priscilla Kelly match. She was rubbing her cooch on his face. It was wild stuff.
Wait, what was this?
Effie and Priscilla Kelly?
I'm surprised you didn't see a clip of that.
You know what I watched over the weekend? And I'll mention it real quick. I don't know when it was from. It was Danhausen against Priscilla Kelly.
Okay.
This was the most dog shit fucking match I've ever seen in my life. It was horrible. I don't understand how Danhausen is over. The crowd didn't even give a shit. He wiggled the fucking jar of teeth. Aside from Priscilla Kelly being all dolled up like one of these like fucking Asian girls with the fucking with the wigwam socks with the leg warmers and all that shit, the little fucking orange pigtails and stuff.
With the wigwam socks.
Yeah, like other than that, like I couldn't give less of a shit about this. It was horrible. Horrible.
All right. All right.
That's my independent wrestling watch of the week.
TNA is going to be on AMC starting in January.
Fucking great.
And The Righteous showed up at the end of that TNA pay-per-view. So props to Vincent and Dutch. I think that's fucking awesome for them. They came out and I guess they went face-to-face with the Hardys.
Good.
So that's pretty exciting. Across the WWE and AEW landscape, there's a couple things that bother me. Entrance music when you're doing a run-in, especially when you stop and point at the camera. Kenny Omega. Please don't do that.
That's old hat.
Still super duper annoying. Please get rid of it. Also in AEW land, enough with the fucking blood every week. You ruin it. I'm more impressed when somebody doesn't bleed on your fucking shows.
You gotta bleed, bro.
You don't.
That'd be awesome.
Listen, you know what'd be awesome? Let me put a plastic bag over your head, stick you in a fish tank, and cut your back up. It'd be fucking awesome. Renee, what do you think of this? Fucking awesome.
I think the
see my Stevie Wonder walk, it's fucking awesome.
I was here to make you pee my pants, man.
Piss your pants, fucking awesome.
I think the
you bitches are gonna team up, fucking awesome. This is what we talk about, Ron.
Damn it, man. I think the WWE dropped the ball. I think the Wyatt family and the MFTs should be building to a War Games, but because every pay-per-view has a theme.
Motherfucking Tongans. Fucking awesome.
We're not going to get that.
When was the last time the fucking Wyatt family was even on TV?
Bro, I didn't even realize they were the tag team champions until Friday night.
Put Sick Boy in the Wyatt Six. Fucking awesome.
That's it. You love God. I got to go take a piss. Start homework. I got to go take a piss.
But Brundo, this was your homework, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. Oh, this hand job.
Yeah, fuck him. Look at this fucking hand job. Fucking waddle to the fucking John.
That's Can we see stupid. You? Oh, there he goes.
Oh. Brundo, I will ask you one question.
Sure.
Why do you torture me so?
What, you didn't like homework?
I wanted to like homework. I really did.
I wanted to like the homework I actually originally picked too. And I think the one that I, from now on, I'm going to actually like preview the match or whatnot that I pick.
So please enlighten us. Why Matt Stryker and God.
Originally I wanted to watch Christopher Street Connection versus Sexy Eddie and Beef Wellington.
Yeah. I thought that's what you had said.
That's what I originally picked, but the video I found was just some fucking guy talking over the match. So you wouldn't hear, there was no crowd noise. There was none of the guys. And Eddie and the Christopher Street Connection, all these guys are like what I like to call verbal wrestlers. So a lot of interaction. So it wouldn't have just hit the same way. So I decided to pivot quickly to what I thought would be a great Christopher Street match, because I was a big fan of those guys back in the early 2000s.
So I'll yield the floor to HK first. You got any thoughts on this homework, buddy?
So the Christopher Street, those were the Fuddruckers, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I miss Fuddruckers. My God.
Yes.
Now I'm fucking 100%. Starving, dude.
There's still one in Parsippany. I gotta take the drive up there.
Yeah,
there's
one really?
There's one up on 10.
Yeah.
Because there used to be one in Wayne on 23. There used to be the one on 4 in Paramus.
Yep.
Those are long gone.
Yeah. The one on 4 ironically turned into a gym.
It's a turn.
That's weird, but okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, HK. The Fuddruckers.
Yeah, no, I really didn't mind what was going on in the match at all. The way that they worked together, I thought it was entertaining enough. I always liked Matt Stryker. I thought that he could have been more than what he was. He had a good look. He worked well in the ring. At times, I thought it was a little bit over the top. Like
over the top
when he's over the top when you're playing to the crowd and he's like, he sucks. What? He sucks. What? He's oh hell yeah.
No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. I'm fucking tired.
But like, it seems like he went just a little bit too much on that, where like it died instead of him killing it, so he could bring it back. You know what I mean? Like when the fans have it die, it's harder to bring it back than when you kill it and then bring it back because they're ready to bring it back with you. So that's something that I thought was kind of a miss. Funny spots, I'm all for. I was surprised the finish that roll up. Like I didn't see that coming, and I'm a big fan of like the surprise roll up finish. But after like the chair shot and bullshit, I thought it was kind of it didn't tickle me the way I wanted to be tickled. But altogether, like I enjoyed the action. I laughed at the comedy spots. It was a fun match. I enjoyed it.
It's I was in the bathroom. Did you say what year this was from?
2004.
I think it was 2004, 2005. Yeah. I think it was 2004 though.
Yeah, this is definitely what I didn't look and see what promotion it was. I'm sorry.
I believe it's USA Pro.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they always ran the
Frank Goodman.
Yeah, they ran the Elks Lodge, and they would have put on these like,
of course, they
6-hour shows, and bring in all the old ECW guys and the ticket sellers and everybody from the area.
Yeah, no, I'm with HK on this, man. It kind of checked all the boxes for me. It was entertaining, good wrestling matches. I mean, you could tell it's early 2000s. Like, he's a homo chant, yelling homo.
Stryker swallows.
The second a female walks out the curtains, show your tits immediately. Like, there was no, like, there was just like, girl, curtain, tits, tits, tits. I was surprised that the chair shot didn't end the match, though.
Like, yeah, so I didn't understand any of that. I felt like there were three pinfalls. Like, what the fuck exactly happened?
I don't even remember at this point.
There was she pulled the referee out at one point. And that's that piece of shit, Ref Hansen, too, who was the referee.
Yeah. I think that's the guy who was talking over the original video, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
There was.
Did anybody catch who that woman was?
I couldn't tell.
Woman. Who's that fucking
woman? Woman.
She's with the Christopher Street Connection. The gay innuendo finishers, like the teabag.
I love that fucking finisher that they do.
The head in the crotches, pull the pants down gimmicks. Like, although Matt Stryker was clearly not the professional that Simon Diamond was. Simon Diamond just went bare ass,
Matt Stryker thought he was getting signed again. That's what it was.
I thought it was fine. I'm with AJ. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. And it was 12 minutes, probably, give or take. Fun stuff. Fun match. The camera work was shit, but it's our video, so.
Yeah, what do you expect?
And I didn't, I was not surprised when someone pointed in the crowd that he was a homo and RF put the camera on him, just scoping out.
Just checking his age.
Yeah, seeing if he was old enough.
Yeah.
14, or LOL.
Not old enough.
He said 18. Creep.
Yeah, I really enjoy. I actually enjoyed this. I always enjoyed the Christopher Street Connection. I thought they were great. Whether they could play, they were perfect playing either heels or babyface, where they could be fun gayer, like over the top. Like, okay, this crowd's gonna really fucking hate them.
Fun gayer,
fun gayer.
They could be fun gayer.
Yeah,
isn't that being like fun or gay?
I'm not sure.
Could be both. But yeah, I was always. It's funny to think too. They are the first wrestlers ever to come out at a Ring of Honor show. At the Era of Honor begins, they were the first ones through the crowd or through the curtain.
That
type of cut. Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. I thought, yeah, fun gayer.
We got fucking John Cena's gonna die before the week, and we got the Christopher Street Connection coming out on the first Ring of Honor show.
Oh, Vince McMahon was gonna die.
Oh, Vince McMahon, that was it.
Yeah, Vince.
Sorry,
Tony. Where were you? Where did you land on this? The homework.
I don't know. Like, the shit just started bothering me. Like, I'm all in for good laughs and stuff, but like. It just seemed like we were forcing it. Like, it didn't seem genuine. It just seemed like we got to get all our shit in. And, like, the hot tag really fucking annoyed me because there was no hot tag. The crowd didn't give a shit when the other dude got in. Like, I don't know, man. I usually enjoy this kind of shit. I felt they tried way too hard in this one, and it just didn't click. I didn't feel it, man. I really didn't.
I'm surprised.
I am too, because usually I fucking would be dying for this shit, Listen, maybe if it was 2004 and I was there and I was watching this live, but 2020, and it's got nothing to do with PC, because I could give a fuck less about being PC or like doing the gay thing and whatnot, but it just didn't click for me, man. Because you know me, I'm fucking bro stuff all day.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Julio showed up at 8:11. He said, all roads lead back to bro stuff.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they didn't lead to this one for me, man. I wasn't feeling it.
So if you were in the front row, Tony, and they came around to you, would you make out with them?
Make out?
Because I've been at shows and seen people literally make out with the Christopher Street Connection.
No.
As they come around.
Hold on.
Dudes? Yes, 100% dudes.
They're gay!
I get it, but like...
Wait, is it a gimmick? Are they like they're married? They have kids and shit.
No, this definitely was not a gimmick.
Oh, this is life imitating art imitating.
Yeah,
life,
yeah, they definitely like, were.
I'm good with that, but like making out, unless they were plants, they had to be plants. You can't just be.
Who's gonna? They were people. Plants. Stupid.
I stopped at giving them hugs in the front row. I didn't go.
No, dude, put out. A couple.
That's what I mean. Like, I'd give them a hug, maybe a little pat on the ass or something. Go get them, Tiger.
Right, you're not full blown making out with them.
No, I mean, if he wants to give me a fucking handy, you know.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah, I don't need a kiss for that.
Yeah, but how quick, like, how quick is your release?
Could be as quick as it needs to be.
Oh, interesting.
Did you imagine Christopher or Street getting in the ring and having a little surprise on their hand?
I don't think that was either of their names.
Oh, that's not their names?
No,
Christopher Mason and Street. Buffy. Oh, like Billy Christopher and Johnny Street. Like the Can Am connection. One's Christopher and one's Street.
Billy Christopher.
The Can Am connection. Neither one of them was named Can or Am.
No, but that's it kind of fits from. In, right?
No, it doesn't. Martell and Zink sound nothing
maybe
like
it, maybe it does. We're not in the locker room. See, I can make gay jokes too. Can we go back to the rooster burn? I want to get some flaming sushi.
I don't think the streak ends tonight, though, because I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'll be begrudgingly give it like a sort of in the middle, maybe, I guess, just to, because I'm thinking 2025 me, 2004 me would probably be all about this shit.
Like, oh, yeah. You had your fucking t-shirt like turned up inside, like in a little, with your little.
Oh, me?
Belly. Yeah, you, your fat belly hanging out, yelling, I'm a homo. You'd be all in.
Yeah, for 21 years later to be on fucking YouTube.
And you'd be like, Striker swallows.
That's the other thing, too. The quality was so bad. Like, it was really hard to make out what the crowd was going for, what they were saying in the ring half the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that contributed to my misery watching this as well.
Early 2000s indie wrestling, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, no, I get it. Some of the old ECW, like, home video tapes were fucking rotten, too.
Yeah, you couldn't hear anything on the house mics. Pretty sure you could hear Simon Diamond call for the dick spot.
The dick. He was calling for the dick.
Where he gets like back body dropped and then like Striker falls face first into his dick. Like, I'm pretty sure you can hear him call that spot.
What he's like, give me the dick.
So, something like that, yeah.
I was just looking these guys up too. Could you give a guess on who trained the Christopher Street Connection?
Gino Caruso.
No.
Iron Mike Sharp.
Oh, God.
Is it Johnny Rods?
Nope.
Oh, Chase Durance.
Mm-mm.
That was a good guess, Double T. That was a really good guess.
Yeah, I really thought that was it.
Who trained these
Drew
guys?
Drew Gulak.
No, they started before Gulak.
Okay.
Mikey Whipwreck?
Nope.
Am I close?
I don't think so. Same area, I guess.
What is a wrestling school that was around 2004?
It has to have been.
I mean, they were early in 2004. Yeah,
2001. They were ringing
Homicide.
On. Bingo, Homicide. They're both Dog Pound guys.
Bruh.
Those guys training with Loki and the Hit Squad. That would have been fun to watch.
Woof.
Yep. Handsome Kevin, you are. Is that everything we have to say about the homework? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so three thumbs up, and it's good. The streak continues.
All right. HK, you're up, buddy.
Come on, yeah. Bobby Backlund, Larry Zbysko. Bobby Backlund, Larry Zbysko.
And that was the hard thing, because I was really thinking about going with some Bobby Backlund here, but with it being Cena's last match on Saturday, I figured I'd get into the Cena pile, right? Go back to the Cena that I didn't appreciate when we had him, and that is the Cena of 2005. And that is going to be Judgment Day 2005. It's him and JBL in an I Quit match.
Okay. I'm all about JBL in the world title picture, so I got no complaints about that.
Love JBL, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
So somebody, that's on the cock?
It is on the cock, yep.
For the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
The countdown on. Also.
Let me ask before we move on. I hope that... HK and Duke, I saw Duke in the chat earlier. I hope you guys really front loaded all your watch alongs.
We did.
You know, good call. Good call.
We did. Man. It's so the problem that we're running into now is we don't know what we're going to do next. We have a couple ideas, but we
Hogan, Hogan.
Can you? No, you know what? Thunder in Paradise. Maybe learning the ropes with Lyle Alzado. There's a whole lot of other wrestling stuff that you can watch that's not necessarily like, you know, in the ring.
We thought about Melrose Place.
Herman's Head.
You got to do 90210 leading up to Donna Martin getting a fucking DWI and Donna Martin graduates.
Might be. It could be in the cards. We have no idea what's going to happen next. So it's going to be. But we did. We front loaded everything for the season. So we'll be fine this season. It's just on here. Tropic L chimes in. He's saying we got to watch Designing Women.
Nah, we got to be Golden Girls before Designing Women.
We have no idea where we're going, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I know that.
I've been trying to prepare you for this for a year now, and everybody ignored it.
Nobody ignored
friends.
You.
Al, eat a shit, friends.
Yeah, fuck friends.
Oh, fuck you, Tropic Al, friends.
Al, you're my friend, so I would never say fuck you, but bad choice, buddy.
He's my friend, too, and I would say fuck you.
Yeah, ditto.
I made the Christmas card. Twice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tropic Al's in there, too.
Yeah, well, not these two schmucks.
Nah, they'll be in the next one.
Hey, this guy's not going anywhere.
Don't, he'll be there.
Never say
I
never.
I hope so. I want him. I want him there.
I want him there too. I'm worried that this guy's going to take a shit next to my wife while she's taking a shower.
Oh my God. I fucking run in there. As soon as I hear Molly fucking turn on the water, I'll wait till I hear the shower curtain close and it's fucking all bets are off.
Molly, you doing that?
Right, and I'll take a shit while HK is in the shower.
Oh my God. See him fucking run by with his little troll cock hanging out.
Apparently, it's just a big pair of balls.
He fucking trips over his nuts trying to run out the bathroom. Oh my God. I want to drink with a trans person too.
That bar
just
rules.
Like HK did. I know.
A trans like person? Fun.
Trans. Trends. Like trend? Like I fucking heard. Roids?
Like friends.
Oh, friends person?
Yeah.
I'm everybody's friend.
Yeah. I had a joke, but I refrained. Okay. We'll be back next week. We'll be doing, I'm pretty sure we'll be doing a lot of John Cena talk next week. We have no guests. We have no, you know what was a bummer too last week? After I hit up Luke Gallows, he hit me up the next day. He was like, if I'd seen this earlier, I would have come on the show. And I think that would have been a fucking train wreck too.
Of course it would have.
Yeah. Luke,
we haven't had good train wrecks in a long time.
That was a lot of fun. Ron Reese was fun.
He was good times, man. He was a great guest.
Really was. Yeah.
All the guys in the flock can talk the balls off a brass monkey.
Why you got a dog the guest?
What?
Really? Really? He gave us a fucking great show tonight.
It was a great show. I long for
that. I didn't even have to read Brundo's notes.
Neither did I.
I listened to the fucking. I got the Jordan Oliver interview coming out. I listened to it today. Man, you were like super interested in talking to Jordan Oliver.
Yeah, it was MLW. I was super into MLW at the time.
Yeah,
what were they, the fucking Jailbirds? What the hell was their group?
Injustice.
Injustice. That was it.
Yeah.
And it was, we had gotten him right after that clip went viral of him and Christian Blake going nuts in the ring.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was it's. I like when you're engaged, Tony.
I'm married, sir, so it's gonna be a while if that ever happens again. Oh shit!
We're doing John Cena goat stuff. All your ballots are
John Cena goat stuff. Please write that down.
We're doing goat stuff.
All your ballots are in. We have the next class for the Shining Wizards Hall of Fame.
And we'll be announcing that, yeah, later.
Bonus episodes are coming out the yin yang.
Tomorrow, the 15th and the 25th. You got three of them this month, people.
Three.
We love you all so much. $3, people. Get on that shit.
Get on
dollar an episode.
Yeah. We'll be back. We'll be back next week.
And with that, we cue the motherfucking music.
I do all this. Jesus
Christ. This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We would like to thank those that support us over at our Patreon. Executive producer Manny Kratzel, Mike Peterson. Producers Kate Hensler, Matt Grifo, High Five Com, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, Michael Hammond, Keith Park, Rye Dunk Biscuits, and David Henry Bauer the Third.
Night, Diana.
Well, good. Fuck him. He deserved it. What about sex robot? Those are on the list.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
Oh my.
Oh. Oh no. Have you ever been in that fucking position before?
I'm coming hard.
Fitzpatrick can look at her, but
you shouldn't do that.
Ass.
Bust a nut in grandma's butt, part three.
Dicks.
This didn't taste like cookies or pussy. What the fuck is wrong?
Pussy!
This is called a bitch.
Bring me the balls that I remember. I want the balls from memory, right? I don't want this balls.
I love cocks.
Boy, I got to use the bathroom.
My kids turned me on.
So does he have AIDS?
I just banged a country dude up the ass.
No, somebody's playing with the plugs.
You feeling okay, Sasha? Oh, fucking great.
You're quick in and out.
Fuck yourself up the ass, homo.
Sexy Kevin to me, too.
You will suck my meat.
He's a bro, so, you know.
Raw pink meat.
9 and 10 years old? Oh, yeah, that'll go over great.
Fucking bullshit!
Tony remembers all flatulence.
It looks like he's shedding, Vince.
Guess what, buddy? The smells don't come from my armpits, okay?
Was that a clip or was that really Matt?
I'm not waffle stomping turkeys.
How dare you?
Unclog your shithole. You dumb fat fuck.
What the fuck?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I killed John Cena every once in a while. And he tried to cream me and KJG.
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Now that's not just the coolest. That's not just the best. Shining Wizards Podcast. Now that's just incredible.